Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the former bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tickton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Allentown?
Here. Unfortunately, I think this is going to be a long meeting. I apologize in advance. There's been a lot going on, and we have, I think, a fair number of reports. I also expect that we will have a closed session, after which, at least in my opinion, action may be taken. Okay, things that have been done in the last 2 weeks. I received a call from ISO. ISO is the insurance rating agency regarding our current and future fire protection. I advised them that we expected to have fire protection from our current firefighters at least through this evening, and that we had an agreement with Millstone that they would continue covering until we made a decision. So Millstone, as of this evening, is going to be our primary fire department until we decide otherwise. Most of you know the bulletin board was vandalized. I found out about it about 7 in the morning from an email from Dr. Lapode and a telephone call from her and from Kelly Tires. State police were at the scene. They did their investigation. After they were done, we checked with them and the fire marshal and had the bulletin board removed. There was a movement to give it a decent burial, but I don't think that's necessary. We had a leak in the Borough Hall roof. The roofer who recently provided services to the borough with the water plant examined the roof and stated that it's basically been up there for 50 years. We already have several levels on it. It's probably going to have to be replaced. We're going to have to go out for bids. As you notice, these piles are very old documents. We had a crew in. They removed everything from the attic since we had no idea whether or not those documents were being soaked. In order to do that, we had to take the firefighting gear from the trailer, move that into bay 2 of the old firehouse, take the more current files, which were in bay 3 over here, and violate the fire code, and put them into the trailer. So older files, newer files, fire gear. Okay. We brought in a crew from KTK. It took them about an hour and a half, but I think they had either 6 or 8 guys with them, and they were moving fast. Let's see. During the inspection of the attic, I noticed the crack in the wall between the hallway and the main meeting room has widened. That would be directly above my head. So I guess about 6 or 8 months ago, it was maybe a quarter of an inch. It's now a half an inch. So it's moving. So too, by the way, is the old firehouse. That is shifting. So they put a support on. The support goes straight up and down, which is great, except that the building is now moving this way. Just saying. Fire trucks. Fire trucks were donated by the fire company to Union Beach, Hope Fire Company in Allentown, and the Hightstown Fire Department. I attended a meeting of the, actually a closed session of the Millstone Fire Commission on Monday night. Been having discussions with the Hightstown Engine Company, one of which has submitted a proposal, a contract actually, and another we're waiting. I think Hightstown is Monday night is their council meeting, at which point they are intending to make an offer. Moving to the to be done, not a short list, sorry. We have to consider proposals for fire coverage from neighboring towns. I expect that we will consider distance, predictability of future pricing, pre-existing relationships such as shared service agreements, personnel coverage, county lines, etc. We need to declare, and I think we are tonight declaring the tent excess property. That would start the clock of 25 days until it can be auctioned. note that the reason it's still up, even though it keeps moving over and blocking the trailer, is that there really are no instructions. I think it was generally agreed that whoever wants to buy it wants to take it down themselves. And when I say take it down themselves, it requires at least a crew of four, excuse me, four and a backhoe. I don't know if any of you saw it going up, but the frame on that thing is, you know, 2.5-inch pipe. It's big. But we'd also like to get it out of here. Prepare an inventory of all the other firefighting equipment that's in the borough, including the gear, which costs us about $3,000 a unit, helmets, scuba, hoses, fittings, flags, etc. Declare the firefighting turnout gear excess property. Consider its disposition. The first aid squad wants some of the gear, meaning the clothing. Union Beach is interested in the fittings, the scuba, the hose, as are perhaps other fire companies. So we may want to consider whether we want to auction this stuff off or we want to donate it to needy fire companies. We have to consider our options for first aid. They need storage for their ambulances, including ventilation, larger door sizes, washrooms, decontamination facilities, etc. Note that we expect PIOSH and the fire marshal and GIF to be back within the next 2 weeks. So our agreements with them have now lapsed, and we have to talk to them about new agreements. We need to replace the lift station at the Borough Hall. The lift station was part of the proposal for the emergency services building. It was included in that. Since we are not doing the new building, we need to replace the lift station. I believe that was about $40,000. Anybody know off the top of their head?
35 to 40, yes.
35 to 40, thank you. Plans also included rebuilding our parking areas. So we need to figure out a way to repair the parking areas. There's a lot of holes, there's a lot of ditches. It's got to be repaved. Fire building, we have to decide whether we want to condemn it or rebuild it. We have to consider the cost of insurance, cost of demolition, generator replacement, I'm sorry, placement, public work storage, and file storage. HVAC at the Borough Hall, that thing's dead. Covered to this. We have to sort the files and the record books. In order to put some of our long-term files in our Monmouth County storage facility, we first have to sort them. They have to be sorted by employees of the borough because some of them contain confidential information. And one of the proposals is, and we've talked about this on and off for quite a while, is just close down the borough hall for a week, have an all-hands meeting, and sort through all of these boxes and determine which ones can be demolished, which ones can be have to be eternal storage, which ones are 10 years, etc. As a and then following that, ask for expedited permission. You have to get permission from the state to destroy files, so we would have to go ahead and ask for expedited permission. Cost of summer camp, I think that's coming up later. Council has operated under a temporary budget. We're now late in our permanent budget, so we need to get that done like ASAP. There's been discussion of minutes. I've gone over historical minutes. If we do them in accordance, so for everybody to understand, part of the discussion was how much we include in the minutes. Watching the staff struggle with trying to figure out what to put in and what not to put in, and basically doing a transcript for hours on end, I think we go back to doing it in accordance with Robert's rules. Ms. Parrott suggested that we simply do it in accordance with Robert's rules and that we then put the tapes on the website so anybody can download them for at least 80 days. That seems to make the most sense. If you want to listen to the tapes, you can listen to the tapes. If you want to have them transcribed, you can have them transcribed. But that allows our staff to get these done fairly efficiently. And as I said, I've gone back through the past administrations, and they have all been pretty much in accordance with Robert's rules, which is we put in the conclusions of one or two statements, and then we move on. I believe that's enough. I can hand you this much.
Are we going to ask?
Yes. Now have, do we have minutes approved? We have none.
No, 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 just finished. The 227.
We have public comment on the consent agenda. Is there anybody, Mr. Allentuck?
Yeah, two things. what's resolution 16-95 and how are you changing it? Resolution 17-52, resolution to amend resolution 16-95.
I can speak to that if you'd like.
Please.
When we hired Ali Abdelrahman, we hired him at a rate of $27 per hour. And in his contract that he signed with the borough, it was to raise, if after a probationary period of 60 days, his hourly salary was to be raised to $28 per hour. However, when we adopted the resolution, it had the probationary period of 6 months. Because his contract with the borough takes precedence over the resolution, we wanted to use the 60 days and give him his raise. He is licensed as a water treatment plant operator, so and he has worked out satisfactorily. But just to make sure that we had crossed all the I's, dotted I's, crossed T's, all those things, we put it in a resolution that we would raise his salary by $1 an hour from 27 to 28 after 60 days.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually a little worse than that. The original resolution had both 6 months and 60 days.
Oh, great. So, well, but sixes
right.
count.
So you're clarifying.
And the other thing is resolution 17-54. The wording has me confused. It says authorizing the execution of an agreement for emergency fire and related services.
Resolution.
My understanding of the word execution means you're doing it. And if you're doing it, you're signing a contract, which I don't think you want to do. Who are you executing this contract with?
May I make speaks?
No.
Okay.
No, not a whole speech.
1754 is not supposed to be in the consent agenda.
I'm sorry?
It is not supposed to be in the consent agenda.
Well, that makes it easy. That's
yes.
It. Okay, thank you.
So are we pulling that?
We are. Well, the resolution has blanks, and that is part of the closed session that I was talking about.
All right, because I wanted to pull it anyway.
No. Should we make the motion?
Yeah. I move to pull resolution 17-54 from the consent agenda.
Second.
Well, I don't think you need a second. And traditionally, if any one council person wants to remove something from the consent agenda, it gets removed from the consent agenda.
Okay.
Any other requests for removals from the consent agenda?
I'd like
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, is there anybody else in the public who would like to speak or have questions?
I'd like to remove the payment of bills from the consent agenda.
Okay.
Also, this is really minor, but there's a little grammatical error with 1754. The very first paragraph says, whereas the voters of the borough is unable, should be are unable. Just to
say. Okay. Okay.
Can I ask for clarification on something? You mentioned something about that being in closed session.
We need a motion and a second to discuss the consent agenda.
Oh, for discussion.
Okay, so Councilman Lapode, you're pulling the payment of bills, correct?
Correct.
So normally, we'd discuss the consent agenda. The only things that are
no,
pulled.
No, normally we wouldn't.
No, but if you're going to discuss it, you really should pull it, because the purpose of the consent agenda is just to move on. That's why they call it the consent agenda.
Right, but I know what we're pulling.
Well, my My question was about something that was pulled.
Okay, we'll get to that next. Okay.
So I move the rest of the consent agenda that wasn't pulled, which is resolution 1751, 52, and 53.
Second.
Can we please have the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
I guess.
My question, you mentioned something about 1754 and closed session.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Can you elaborate
sure,
on
sure, we have a couple of proposals we need to discuss.
Okay.
So it has to do with negotiations, contract negotiations.
Okay. But we don't expect to move 1754 after closed session, or we do?
You would have to decide in closed session. I mean, it's a council decision. I can't say we're going to move it or not move it.
On a question again? May I? Okay. We're discussing contracts in closed session?
Yes. Contracts and proposals. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Do we have contracts available to discuss?
Yes.
How many?
Good. We're going into closed session. We need not have this discussion in public. There are at least three proposals.
Okay. I know for a fact that another contract, I don't know if it's part of your agenda or what, is being ratified tonight to be presented to our safety committee tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So would that preclude this closed session for
no.
contract discussion?
It would not.
If not all the contracts are available to be discussed?
It would not preclude the discussion, though.
So then we wouldn't necessarily make a decision about contracts tonight?
That is exactly what I said to Mr. Hamilton, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Payment of bills.
Right. So the council adopted a temporary budget in January, and the temporary budget was based on 26.25%. You can correct me if I'm wrong on those percentages, but I believe it's 26.25% of the last year's budget was adopted as a temporary budget, and that would generally carry us through a quarter of the year, so that would be January, February, and March. We're now paying bills in April, and I'm not sure that there has been an appropriation to have adequate funding to actually pay these bills, so that's why I pulled it. Maybe somebody has additional information.
Well, what we've done is we have temporary appropriations because we have not passed the permanent budget. But this is how it's done every year. Our CFO tells us when it's time to meet, which in this case we're meeting next week on Tuesday. But there's no problem. This is what's done year after year. We're audited every year. We have our audits come out perfectly every year. And we take our guidance from the CFO, who's the expert, and we're meeting next week to begin work on the permanent budget.
I understand that the permanent budget is under your purview, but I'm asking about the temporary appropriations, which started our budget. If we don't have the money to pay the bills, then we shouldn't pay the bills. And I don't have any certification from George that says that we have the money. Usually he will make an emergency appropriation in specific line items if there isn't enough money, but I haven't seen that, and I know that we only appropriated 25% basically one quarter.
Has he approved the payment of these bills?
Does he have
to? George usually
sees all these bills before we see them.
There should be a certification that goes along with it. Kathleen, is there a certification that goes with it?
And
he would contact us.
And in fact, I took a look back when we say that we've always done it this way. We haven't. In fact, the budgets, at least during Mr. Hamilton's, I want to say reign, but I really mean administration.
Thank you.
Wrong word. We're done by March.
Well, I can only speak to, since I've been finance chair, this is how it's been.
Understood.
But George would, and Mr. Lang would contact us if there was a problem, and he sees the bills before we do every...
I have asked three or four times that we have a certification of these bills, of the bills that we receive at every meeting. I have not gotten a response back from George. I have told Anna, I have told George. In view of the discussions we're having and have been having about certifications, it seems to me that it would be appropriate, number one, that we have them, and number two, I, for one, would really like to start getting the budget done a lot closer to the time that it's supposed to be done, rather than doing emergency appropriations back and forth.
Well, the reason that George says that that's not a good idea is because you don't want to really do it until the state has passed their budget. You can't do it until the state has passed their budget, and also because if you do it too early, then additional issues or items that may come up that you need money for, if you pass it too early, then it's too late. You can't allocate any money for that. So that's why his preference is to do it as late as possible, around the same time that the state passes their budget.
I just want to add to that, if I might. I spoke to the CFO this morning and about this issue, in fact, not about temporary appropriations, but about preparing the budget. One of the factors that's missing, obviously, is what we're going to discuss tonight and close, is a contract amount, too, that should be plugged into that budget. But we set up a meeting for Tuesday to start going over those figures. He didn't say anything about the temporary budget or not being able to pass bills. He's usually fairly on top of things like that. So I don't... have to do with the months of the year. It has to do with what percent, and I think you're right, what percentage of the budget we've appropriated to pass it. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, actually the law says that we have a certain very short period of time in which to pass the temporary budget, not in excess of 26.25, and then we're supposed to have a budget by, I think it's March, I forget what it was. It was pushed off this year until March 17th.
Yeah.
It was extended because of something, whatever the governor decides to extend it for. But
George has clarified almost every year why it's not a good idea to pass it too early.
Okay. You don't have the state budget actually until June.
Right.
Until the
Understood.
End of June.
Yeah. Understood.
We usually pass it in May.
Sorry?
We usually pass it in May.
Well, no, then that doesn't make any sense if we're waiting for the state budget.
Well,
the state budget comes out in June.
I don't know if they've at that point... They possibly haven't voted on it, but he's aware of what's in the budget.
I just happened to have the local finance notice in front of me, and it says that the municipal introduction and approval of budget should be on March 17th with municipal adoption by April 21st.
Right, but George, I mean, we can discuss it with him, but he doesn't see fit to do it that way. So if it's of concern to everyone, we can ask him. But these were his reasons for not passing it then.
What is our budget anyway? What month to what month? Is it July, July?
It's calendar year.
Calendar year?
It's calendar year.
Okay.
Well, we've had an unusual situation here because of the referendums, which have created the uncertainty as to which way we're going to go on two issues, both of which involve considerable costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this has been happening for years.
I understand that, but this year particularly, it's
as to the immediate, I think you probably could pay the bills contingent on getting a certification from the CFO. In the future, what I've seen other municipalities do is that right on the bill list, there is a block that says the CFO has reviewed that and certified funds. So that's a form we might want to use filling in the future.
We usually have that accompanies contracts and things like that he certifies. And I think actually the law says that resolutions and all should have line items and certifications.
Actually, Mike, we don't. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I know. We should.
Yeah. So that is as to that. And as to the budget, maybe Mr. Lang should...
Yeah, we've asked him for the last few years, and that's always his rationale.
I think we ought to talk to a couple of other towns and see what they're doing. And to the extent possible, I'd also like to get, in that discussion, see if we can get his emergency appropriations earlier. He tends to send them in at 3 o'clock on Monday of the meeting, which is...
Well, we can discuss it next week. So I'll move to pay the bills with the caveat that that we have George Lang, our CFO, certify that in fact the funding is there to pay the bills.
Good idea.
Okay, second.
So no, so no checks go out. Until
right.
We have a
no rent, checks right. go out until we have that.
Does that mean I have to sign them to him? I take that. No. Okay.
I think we need a roll call.
Well, no, I'd like to discuss some of the bills.
Oh.
Okay. We've had these bills for a while. Have you discussed them with anybody before this? Did you discuss them with Anna or George or anybody on the... Okay, I'd really like to, I think we were talking about this at the last meeting, I'd really like to stop that process for the first time we have what's basically a committee meeting is coming up.
I just wanted to add that I did discuss the bills with Anna, asked for more detailed line-by-line items on some of the bills that were there, and there are some questions that I know some members of the Finance Committee had on some of the bills. And one of the reasons that we do this and wait till a public meeting is so that we do it in a public forum so the public knows what exactly they're paying for. I think it needs to be a public process.
The public is now getting the bill list. They get the bill list at the same time the council does.
The list.
And to the extent that there are... The list, yeah.
Yeah.
With the amounts. To the extent that there are questions or issues, I would appreciate it if the committee would send out what those issues are. Not for discussion online, not for discussion offline, but so that we know going in what it is we're discussing.
Well, the problem with just getting a list is that the public doesn't actually get to see a bill, an itemized bill with any kind of detail. And so it might just say XYZ Corporation, $694,
right.
But it doesn't say what we purchased from XYZ. If there was some more detail on it, I think the public would be better informed on it. And I think that basically the bills ought to be the same. We ought to get the same level of detail on the bills that and the public ought to get that same level of detail. But part of it is just some of the bills that stood out were the ones that I think.
But you have asked for that previously. We took a look at that. That means standing at a stack like this doesn't work.
No digital.
So,
no paper.
No, it comes as paper.
I know.
You have to convert it to digital.
Yeah.
When you convert it to digital, I mean, it starts out with a file like that. It's a big file.
Good.
It doesn't work. Okay. The public is entitled to come in and ask about any of these items, but you're unfortunately not responding to my request. And my request was that if you have gone through this and you have questions about some of them, that you notify the rest of us so that we are aware of what it is that you have a question about, and maybe we can call up George, or we can talk to Anna or somebody else and get
them
resolved.
I did that. I talked to Anna and talked to other people.
I asked you to send it to the mayor and council so that we can see ahead of time what issues you might be raising to see if we have the answers.
Sure. Glad to do that.
But I think the public's entitled to know what concerns the Finance Committee has.
Well, then the Finance Committee can make a report.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
No, it seems like you're having a meeting right now.
No, we have concerns about the bills that we wanted to.
Okay, which ones are it that you want to mark?
Well, we've brought up KTK a number of times. We've been told by our CFO that we must either contract for shared services or bid it out. We're paying KTK an enormous amount of money. They are the only company that we use for, beside Kelly, for snow plowing. KTK received, something like $6,000 this month?
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't have any blizzards. We had two small snows. It's an enormous amount of money. We had two 7-inch snows. And they are the only ones that we consistently call. Now, we were told, this has come up over and over, that we should be either bidding it out.
We actually called them in.
Can I finish, please? Bidding it out, contracting possibly to Hightstown for shared services or Millstone. Now, you said that they were, you liked using them because they were available in an emergency. They came quickly. But not, yes, you did. You said that at a public meeting, that they come very, you know, they're the ones you call in an emergency because they can come. But
do we have a question about the bill, or do we want to talk about the bidding process? Because if you want to talk about the bidding process.
A question about how high the bill is.
Okay. I will respond to you. The reason, one of the reasons that this particular bill is so high, you say we only had 7 inches. What part of what this refers to is the night of the 13th, which preceded our election, in which we had, they had predicted feet worth of snow.
But it didn't
and according, excuse me, accordingly, we had them come out at 11 o'clock at night, and we had them set to run through the following evening to assure that in the event we had an election, that the roads would be clear. So they started on that routine, although we were there eventually pulled off.
Was there no one else that can be called to come the night before? Were they the only company in the area?
Well, we can't call people at random.
Well, we could start using other companies.
Okay, so you've asked for us to go through a bid process to see if there are companies that would do the same thing as KTK.
We've asked many times.
Well, then why don't you make a resolution at this or the next meeting to bid out specific services, state what services you want to bid for, and under what terms, and then we can bid. We can get bids.
Fine. Now, also, I have some questions about the with the Blue Book. I was told by our CFO that there were a lot of items ordered that weren't necessary that already are already at the water sewer plant. There was no reason to really order them. I was wondering who gave the approval, who's overseeing this.
Well, I have the bills here so I can just describe what it was that was ordered.
Well, toilet paper dispenser, paper towel dispenser.
A volumetric flask, which is part of their testing protocols for $85.80. A lab stool and sewer janitorial supplies. Toilet paper dispenser, right. Paper towels, lab stool, yes.
But aren't they already, aren't those dispensers already there?
No, actually, they weren't.
No toilet paper? I was told they were, there are there.
Well, there had been an issue with some clogging of the toilet at the sewage treatment plant from someone who put some items down the toilet, which are not allowed, and so the new toilet paper is designed to quickly go through the systems such that you would prevent that clogging. I don't want to go into any further detail.
I don't blame you, but there was concern.
Another
that
Blue Book
are being
item
that
is latex
necessary.
Lab gloves. You do want to use lab gloves when you test the sewage. Disposable wipes, which you want to use while you're taking samples, leather gloves, a reciprocating saw, and another flask.
Well, those are obvious needs. What the concern was were
with the toilet paper?
Dispensers. Mm. Dispensers and a paper towel dispenser and things that just simply were superfluous if they're already there. And it's unnecessary to order new ones.
You're welcome to visit the sewage treatment plant with me, and we can check on the dispenser situation.
Well, I'm sure there's some new ones there now. Also, once again, Albivi's taxpayer money was spent to feed certain people, some poll workers.
Yes. That was approved at the last meeting.
No, the bill before was approved.
No, and Councilwoman Malkin, or
Lapote said new ones were ordered.
We had already ordered.
You could have canceled them.
That was the night before.
It was the night before.
And we had already picked them up, and they were in the refrigerators of 5 p.m. ready for the poll workers the
and
next day.
And most of
day.
Them were not eaten. The office workers took them home. Most of the food that was ordered.
We did cut back on the order between the first and the second one,
$195
taking your issues into consideration. But no one really volunteered.
You asked her a question. Please
we took
her
$200
Malkin,
food.
You asked her a question. Please let her answer.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
We didn't have enough volunteers to bring in food. We usually have people who volunteer to bring food in and serve the poll workers. It's kind of a Roosevelt thing to do.
Actually, I disagree. I worked at the poll since 1975. I was never fed.
Well, the poll workers say otherwise. I sat here for most of the day with Mike and Mike.
Michael, didn't you say you had never been received any food?
I was working at poll work. That's last time I did that was in 2015, and there wasn't anything.
No.
Okay.
I think it should have had. It should have had council approval to spend money to feed the people.
So your position is that we should not buy food for employees or visitors without council approval.
Yeah. Well. These were paid workers. It wasn't a volunteer situation, and I think that the town is not responsible. It's not. If it was an individual incident, if food was bought, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's just part of a pattern of spending money that's unnecessary.
$128.40, Peggy Malkin, dinner for Rebecca. That would be August 21st, 2014. So
that was a council decision to send her dinner because she had gotten home from the hospital. That was not
so.
Me saying, let's spend money. The council decided to send her dinner because she returned home from the hospital and she was an employee.
If you can find that resolution, please. I'll be more than glad to take a look at it.
So what are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is that we are applying rules disproportionately.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
She came home from the hospital, and the council decided to send her a dinner. It's very different from paying people who are working here for the day, supplying them food. You're comparing apples to oranges.
Okay. We had asked originally for the OEM to go up and gather up various workers through the snowstorm, and to bring them here, and to take others to Freehold. Those workers, once they got here, weren't going to be able to go anywhere else because we were supposed to have whatever it was, 14 or 20 inches of snow.
Well, that was the first one.
We had a discussion. No, that was the second one.
The second one was not supposed to snow on the 28th.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one was discussed on the night before. And as was noted, it had already been ordered. That was mentioned. So
it's inappropriate.
It was reimbursed. Okay.
Can I try to say something?
No, I will say.
But not belabor the actual items or whatever. Perhaps this is something that should go to administration. We come up with some guidelines or something for expenditures of public funds on things like that. And we may want to budget money like that. And I'm sure we have a line item for that.
Mm-hmm.
It had to come out of somewhere in the budget. But we may want to come up with some guidelines for what kind of things we want to fund in this way to avoid any misunderstandings later and so that we're not fighting over any particular bills. You know, I think we should be guided by some kind of policy or guidelines on it. So.
Yeah, or what to spend. You know, we could also have guidelines on how to spend petty cash.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
So, are you volunteering administration to do that?
When we have an administration meeting, we'll perhaps we can put it on the agenda. I'm not the chair, but we could do that.
Okay.
I would be fine with that.
I think that's a good idea. If we have
that's
guidelines,
fine.
Then
fine.
We know going forward exactly right. What's expected. Right. And
yeah, I think you have to be careful about petty cash.
Yeah.
Our total petty cash is $200.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
and that's part of the problem. Things that would normally be paid out of petty cash
yeah.
are being paid out of people's pockets,
yeah.
and then it comes up, and there's a whole discussion of reimbursement.
Yeah,
okay, which really shouldn't be happening. Okay. Do we have any more there any other things that you're objecting to?
Yes, but I'm not going to get into it now. Basically,
One of the things that I wanted to mention on the bills list, and again, I'm not going to belabor the point, was we ran over. I think our quarterly allotment for photocopies are 9,000 copies for a three-month period. I believe we went over 23,000 photocopies. So we're contracted for 9,000. We did 23,000 photocopies. That's a hell of a lot of photocopies. And there's a lot of flyers going out. Some of them, I think, and I think other people think, are very political in nature.
We're currently talking about payment of bills. If you want to bring this up,
well,
bring it up in the closed
session. Talking about the particular bill for the overage, for the 14,000 more copies than were allotted. But I think we need to be careful about that kind of thing so that we don't run up a lot of bills for that, for all the postage, and for everything for politicized flyers. That's a budget item. It's on the agenda tonight, as well as reams and reams of magenta, yellow paper, different color paper that are used for flyers. So, again, this may be something that we want to look at to develop guidelines for, and possibly administration would want to look at that too. And this way, you know, we're not fighting over any particular thing. We're going in accordance with guidelines.
You do note that several of those distributions were the Environmental Commission,
yeah,
the Planning Board.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there were.
Just thought I mentioned that. Okay. More?
I'm finished.
Okay.
Are you ready for roll call?
Do we already have a motion?
We had a motion, yes.
We have a second?
Ms. Lapone and Mr. Tickton, as long as we get certification from the CFO.
And by all means, let's have a roll call.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapone?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Kamau?
Aye.
We now move to reports of council committees. We start with Councilman Mike Hamilton, Public Works.
Okay. We've begun doing some work on the public works part of a forest management plan, and I think along with Eitan, who's here tonight. Where are you, Eitan? I thought you were. That's very clever, but I recognize you. Anyhow, the Environmental Commission has been doing a lot of work on those kinds of things. There is a public works component. We need to identify hazard trees that are in danger of harming people or property in town. We need to focus on any trees that might be in the public right of way. And I'm not exactly sure under our ordinances whether or not homeowners are allowed to plant trees in the public right of way. Who maintains them if they're there? We do, because it's public right away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but there's
maintain also includes cutting them down.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So we need to focus on trees that are extant in the public right away right now, and we need to develop a plan for maintaining the existing trees, planting new trees, care of the trees that are on municipal property. And that's all part of some grant work that the Environmental Commission is doing. And I believe it's all part of the Community Forest Management Plan. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Not precisely.
Okay.
The Community Forest Management Plan has a section that we're required to fill out representing what we intend to do about that. So the actual hazard tree identification, the actual tree planting, part of it comes later. In the plan itself, we just have to indicate that we are going to be planning for that. And then we apply for grants to help underwrite the cost of that actual work.
Yeah. And most of this is, if I understand it correctly, geared toward the possibility of getting state and possibly federal grant money, but state money mainly that we're aiming at for different programs.
The plan will currently work. I guess I should come over here.
Eitan Runwell from the Environmental Commission.
The community forest management plan that we're working on right now is part of a state program, not a federal program. The plan has to meet certain state guidelines, and once we complete the plan and submit it for approval to the borough the Environmental Commission, and the Borough Council, and then ultimately the State Forest Service, once it's approved, then Roosevelt becomes eligible for competitive grants to help underwrite the cost of plan implementation. But those are further steps down the road.
Okay. So we'll be working on that, and we have a short time frame, so I'm going to need to meet as Public Works Committee to discuss some of these things and make sure we have a clear delineation of what our functions are with that. I had the pleasure this morning of having a walkthrough of the little pocket park that's near Footlight Farms over there on 571. And if you haven't had a chance to visit it, it's really going to be a nice little area. It's a green acres space for passive recreational use. And because it's right next to the horse farm, where there's horses and donkeys and everything, it's a nice place for families to go. There's going to be plantings there of all native species. They have holly that's starting to grow that they planted there. And I know they're also going to be putting in some plantings that will attract butterflies. So it'll be a nice combination kind of area to go. And I've been there with some of my grandchildren. And it really makes for a nice setup there where you can go to this little park and also look at the horses and enjoy that that whole part of town. And it is a native species park. So they basically it's going to be all species that are indigenous to this area.
Are there any benches there?
There's not yet, but it's a brand new park, and it's a work in progress. They're still doing plantings, and there's also no signs should people decide to use it as a dog park, too. Which we were talking about that this morning when we took a walk through. Steve Taylor was there from the Invasives Committee, and also Bob Clark. But we were talking about the possibility of putting up a sign, just making sure that people know that there are borough ordinances for taking care of your dog and carrying out whatever your dog brings in.
Or maybe we could have some of the, you know, a lot of places now have plastic bag dispensers.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's a charming area. I think the Environmental Commission and the Invasives Committee is doing a lot of good work. And while we're here arguing about things, they're there planting and making sure that when we're finished arguing, we'll have nice places to visit.
We appreciate the fertilizer.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's great that we have a lot of good volunteers who are caring for our public lands in that way, with a real good eye and a vision of maintaining that space and also creating these little charming little areas in town. So it's great. I'd also like to suggest that we have a Public Works Committee meeting and possibly a joint administration Public Works Committee meeting. We're the same members are on both Public Works and administration, so it might make sense to have one meeting and discuss some of the Public Works issues regarding the forest management plan and the things we need to do for that, and also some of the other things that we discussed. So when the smoke clears for people's schedules and all, we might want to do that and get together. But it's great. There's a lot of work being done quietly by a lot of volunteers who aren't necessarily involved in all the displays here. They're quietly out working in the community and doing some really nice work. So I encourage people to visit this latest little pocket park. That's a work in progress. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Just like to put a couple of things. Many of the people who are involved in the displays here are putting in between 20 and 30 hours a week on the town.
Or even more.
So, yeah. Okay. So you were going to come up with specifications for maintenance. We have to award a mowing contract. Do you have those?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, could you get them over to the staff so we can get together the specs?
Sure.
Also, under Public Works, you might want to set out the specs for the plowing, snow plowing contractors, and whatever else they do, which is the replacement of the valves, the all the rest of it the KTK does. First aid squad, we still have to deal with ventilation, exhaust, washroom decontamination facilities, and the door size issues. Condemnation, fire building. Are we condemning it? Are we rebuilding it? What are we doing with it? We need to know what the costs of demolition are, et cetera. HVAC, we ain't going to have no air conditioning. I know Tom did a lot of work, and his ultimate solution was a slightly more expensive. So as I understand it, the heater, sorry, I'm not pointing at you. The heater room is right behind you. That heater is basically defunct, and the original piping fence that went through go up and down in size. We can either replace all of those, which I believe was slightly cheaper than putting in these small Samsung units,
yeah.
You know, with the unit outside. And
yeah.
But in the long run, apparently his conclusion was that the Samsung units were cheaper because they use less energy and
yeah,
because we only
run.
Have to yeah. heat or cool whatever we want to.
Who is that, Jeff? Tom who?
Curry. Tom did a lot
of
work
on this.
Oh, we have
Tom
Curry. Oh, no, Tom Curry. Roof replacement. I think that falls under Public Works. And whatever we're going to do with the file storage, we're going to have to start moving stuff around to figure that out.
All right. These were some of the items you went over in your mayor's report.
Right, but
I'm
not specifically designating
sure.
them as Public Works because it
no,
seems
I know.
To make
do,
sense.
Do you have more detail on it, any which I can meet with you during the week on, just to make sure?
Yeah, I'm not sure we have
that.
A lot of. I mean, on HVAC, I'm sure we have a ton of stuff. I'll get that. The lift station. I didn't put that on yours. That's actually. I'm sorry. That's water sewer. The issue of the ventilation, et cetera. We're going to talk to the engineer.
Right.
They went through that. And then the roof, that scares me to death.
Yeah.
The roof and that crack.
Yeah, and there's, we were here, I guess it was on election day or whenever, when it rained pretty hard for a while, and there was a lot of water coming down, which it was obvious to me that the gutters hadn't been cleaned in a while, too.
I think we got
so
a bit on
a lot
the gutters,
of
didn't we?
Did yep. we? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was really pouring down, but it was a lot of rain that we had that day, too.
I'm not sure we want to replace the gutters before finding out whether or not we need to replace the roof.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Put
it's
them
all
on
part of the same project.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a bid. Of course, we can't take it without getting other bids. But
okay.
But it may give us an idea of what that's going to run. Okay. And then, I'm sorry, Mike, are you done?
Yeah, I am.
Just on a question, Jeff. I wasn't on the council last year, but I seem to recall something about the HVAC getting done last year.
No, it was never done. We talked about it. We jawboned about it. We thought about it.
But you never got around
it. We danced around it, but we never did it.
Okay.
We had bids. We had cost estimates of both that Samsung unit and the repair. So maybe if we could find those,
yeah.
that would give us a ballpark to start with.
Yeah, so saying that Tom did a lot of work on it. So.
But I think this might be an opportunity also to save some energy for the borough, which would save money, and that might be something we could get points for Sustainable Jersey if we do an energy efficient have, I guess it's I don't know if it's PSE&G or JCP&L come
yeah.
out and do an energy audit
mm-hmm.
so that we could.
Excuse me, I go button. Mm-hmm. Sir, are you just coming to visit or is there something we need
coming to visit.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Energy audit.
Okay. And one more about all the files. I know a couple of years ago when I first started coming to the council meeting, mm-hmm. I had personally volunteered to help scan files in and digitize them, which I actually did for the Environmental Commission early on.
There are two problems. One is there are various files that you're not allowed to see.
Okay.
Okay. There are files I'm not allowed to see okay, that are within the purview of the clerk. The other is that the laws in New Jersey do not permit us to keep all digitized files. So, for instance, all those behind Mrs. Sean, all those books that you see piled there
mm-hmm.
are permanent budgets which we're not allowed to ever throw out. nor can we store them as scanned documents.
Okay.
So while I appreciate it, unfortunately, we can't.
But are there half of those that need to be scanned, or?
Well, the problem is we have to go through them and, or have the staff go through them and figure out which ones can be scanned and which ones can't, okay. which ones can be disposed of.
Okay.
And once they get done with that process.
Okay. I still volunteer to help scan them because it's something that needs to be done, and you know.
Well, thank
okay.
you. Yeah, I think to the extent that can be scanned, we'll all be down here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Senior Rep.
Okay, the Senior Rep and the Board of Health, for starters, the board representative of the Board of Health will be coming here, I believe, on the 2nd to talk to the Senior Citizen Group and about the kits that they make available for preparedness that people can... what will happen is they'll be given... They will basically be given a presentation. Then they'll be given some papers to fill out, which I suppose shows that they've paid attention to the presentation. And if they return that, then they will get this kit, which has like about $100 worth of supplies to be used in an emergency. So this is something the Monmouth County Health Department is providing. But I say they have to participate and make some effort to show that they have absorbed what they are being what they've been told in the presentation. And okay. The again, we don't have any information yet about the gas station. But anything further? No, nothing. Okay, because I wasn't told of anything.
That's my fault. I've been focused on other things.
There've been other things to be focused on, right? But we don't have any information at this point. That's something we're certainly watching. Major community development issue. In code enforcement, we had, as you see on the agenda, there is an approval to approve a license at 9 Homestead. The code officials have looked at it, and they're in compliance. The papers will indicate they're in compliance. I don't see any. It says subject to conditions recommended by the zoning officer, but perhaps Mr. McGrath will speak of the net when we have the reports of borough officials if there are indeed any conditions. And the other thing was there was an email that was sent that for forwarding a letter from the former owner of the property at Sixth Farm, complaining that they had not yet gotten their certificates, their approval, their license yet. And I checked with Mr. McGrath. He said that he and Mr. Marini had been there, and there's still compliance issues that have not been addressed, and that's the reason they haven't gotten it. So that's basically what I have to report. Yes, Sixth Farm, yes. That's basically what I have to report on that.
Thank you. They also wanted to know why they couldn't sit down with the mayor and get this solved.
Yes, that's right. They want the mayor to resolve it all for them, yes.
Michael, did you want to report on the prescription drug take-back program and the when to call 911, which was the previous program that was provided to the seniors?
About the medicine? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't present at that. So, but the county sheriff's department does have the program set up for taking back prescription medicine that people don't want as part of the state drive to get opioids out of circulation. So, you know, certainly encouraged so the people, the representative of the Sheriff's Department was encouraging them, people to do this. And, you know, if we see their effort, people are looking for it, we're checking at Solar Village to see if there are other people at Solar Village who want to do this. If so, we're going to contact the Sheriff's Department there and see if we can arrange for a pickup there.
Thank you. Council Member Stacey Bono, Administration and Environmental Rep.
Well, I'd like to mention a fundraiser for the Roosevelt Public School Education Foundation starting tomorrow night for the next 6 weeks. They're offering Pilates classes from 6:45 until 7:30 p.m. in the school gym. You do not need to pre-register. You do not need to sign up for all 6 classes. You can just show up and pre-register and register there. And it's suitable for all fitness levels and all experience levels. And moving on to the Environmental Commission, I think Michael Hamilton already gave my report, and I'll have Eitan come up for officials. Unfortunately, I missed the last Environmental Commission meeting. I fell ill suddenly and wasn't able to attend, but And that's all I have tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to report?
Just the financial disclosure statements. We're still waiting on notice from the DCA. Okay. They said they were having their final meeting today, so hopefully I'll get that and forward that out to everyone.
They have to meet before they send out the same form. They send that every year.
There's
a new form.
Changes, little changes.
New forms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will.
Hope they're as much fun as the last forms.
They're going to look the same. It's just who qualifies now.
Are they electronically filed? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as of last year.
Only electronically.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you're going to get a PIN and instructions.
Okay.
Actually, I think they're going to expect you to remember the PIN from last year. Oh, good. You get a new one. The rest of us have to remember.
You don't have to remember your PIN. Just remember
your password.
Email and your password
right.
that you use. But I have
that's good.
I don't have password, but I have the email that you use.
So suppose you don't have passwords.
It will on there. You have password.
Change.
And then they'll
reset it.
Good thing.
Yeah.
5 capitals, 1 number, 3 small letters. Something easy to remember. Counselor.
Mayor, we received a decision from the acting director of the Division of Alcoholic Beverage Control affirming the initial decision of the administrative law judge to the effect that the alcoholic beverage license is a request for a special ruling for renewal due to the fact it was inactive. Was denied for failure to establish good cause. And the acting director issued a decision. The acting director did mention something about the petitioner may be able to file a motion for reconsideration. So that is a bridge, I guess, I don't know, we might have to cross. But we have this affirmance now. So we should start thinking what we want to do about issuing, if we're going to issue a new license.
How many days do they have to appeal?
There is. I checked the rule. There is no. There is no rule on a motion for reconsideration to appeal. If they want to appeal to the appellate division, they have to appeal within 45 days of the final order of the agency head, which would be this.
So we don't really.
Well, are they
I
opening?
Guess after 45 days we start.
I mean, I heard Easter,
I know, tomorrow,
which is
tomorrow,
Sunday,
tomorrow.
But I wonder now how this will affect their decision to open, knowing that they were denied their liquor license.
Hmm. Well, they've had 4 years.
Four?
I think it's 4 years in which the courts have said if you open something, you can keep it. I can't think of a stronger incentive. But so after 45 days, we could simply proceed, I guess, because we don't have any other deadline that we could use.
Was that on the 7th? Was that when the ruling came?
Yes, the 7th. Yes.
So 5 days now, 40 days left.
Councilmember Malkin, Finance and Planning Board.
Well, for finance, I think it's. No, we've discussed, you know, we've scrutinized the bills and been in touch with the CFO concerning, you know, beginning work on the permanent budget. Planning Board, at the last meeting, the Planning Board approved the reexamination of the master plan. As we've mentioned before, this is done every 10 years. Roosevelt's was due at the end of March 2017. And some minor changes were made, some additions. Obviously, things have happened in the last 10 years that needed to be included. But anything that was added or changed is nothing that can't be reviewed or discussed for the future. So it was just a reexamination. The public had some input. Planning Board had some input. Tom Thomas was with us every step of the way. And we approved the final reexamination. If anyone has any concerns or questions or anything, they're welcome to come to the Planning Board and give us their input for future reference.
Thank
and, well, recreation?
Jill, hang on 1 second, Jill.
Yeah. I was just going to...
No, keep going.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Time to set this up, so I just was going to get it ready, but I'll wait.
The summer program is going to work a little bit differently this summer than in previous years. Part of what happened is Larissa Bondi, who has led the program for the last couple of summers, was unable to this year, and Eric Schubiger worked very hard at finding another, you know, someone else to lead the program, and I know he had some difficulty. But he finally, I know he made some contacts with recreation businesses, and he put together a different type of program for this summer. Before, it was 6 weeks of one program, just the summer camp. So what we're going to do this year is there'll be 6 weeks of different, each week will be a different sort of camp, different options. So it'll be a sports camp, a mad science camp, a different multi-sport, sports squirts camp, and a theater art workshop. So parents have the option of sending their kids to all 6 weeks, or what's different from previous years is they can choose to send different things that may be of more interest to their kids. They can go to just the theater, just the science, just the sports. So they can go to any or all of the 6 weeks. But also what's nice is that they only have to pay for the week that their child is going. So it's broke. The payment schedule now is broken down into six payments, 6 weeks. So that's different than last year when, or all the other years when it was just one cost for the full 6 weeks. And I do have, if anybody wants a copy, or Kathleen, if you want to make some copies if people are interested, a breakdown of the different of the weeks and what will be offered. And it's getting late, so I think this will be probably going out very soon to the parents. So
I don't think you can do that.
Do what?
You can't set the rates. The rates have to be set by the council. They're set every year.
No, I only meant, no, I don't know what the rate is. I'm only saying you can pay for each week.
No, it's on
separately.
The sheet, isn't it?
Yes.
Something went out to the parents that had all of the prices, and I must tell you that I have been hearing from parents over the last couple of days, and they are decidedly unhappy.
I don't have that on my sheet. Unless I'm, oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Oh. Well, then, I guess, well, Eric is away this week, so I can't contact him until next week, but...
But we have to have a resolution.
Yeah.
We have to approve the rates.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that he had a lot of difficulty putting the program together this summer, so this is what he came up with, but where he came up with these numbers, I really don't know. But I can contact him early next week. And
I think it might be a good idea to contact, when you contact him, have him meet with some of the parents.
Well, some of, like, which parents?
I can get you a list. Is there anybody in the audience who can give me a list of parents who were not happy with those? I'll get you one.
Okay.
It's been on Facebook, and there's been a number of comments on Facebook about that. And some of the concerns that were raised are that the times for the programs are like for ages 3 to 5, it's only from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And so it really doesn't help if you're working. You really can't
I think the camp
their
was
needs.
Never meant to act as a daycare or, you know, something. But I do know that this was the best he could come up with for this summer. So
The other problem is that Millstone has a cheaper program for a longer period of time that does meet the needs. So despite the fact that this hasn't come before the council to approve it, it has been distributed to parents, and many of them are quickly signing up their children for other opportunities because it just doesn't.
I had seen that, but I just knew that was the, you know, that was what he was able to put in place for this summer. I'll talk to him, and if you can get me a list of the names of parents.
Sure. Maybe going to Facebook would be the...
Facebook
is... I'm not on Facebook.
No, I'm asking Jill. I have no idea where to look on Facebook, so...
Is Millstone a full day?
Yes.
Like 9 to 3 or...
Yeah. And
eight
they...
8 to 3?
5 weeks.
Yeah, that's a full day.
Yeah.
And Hightstown, I thought, had something similar.
But I thought that our...
You know about
summer
the
program was never
kitty camp in Hightstown, right?
Well, Larissa's in the audience. Maybe
oh, really?
She could speak to it.
Oh, I didn't even see you.
Last year we offered an aftercare for the campers. So there was, it did go last year, you could go from 9 to 5:30.
Oh, really? But generally, what was it?
Well, I only did 3 years. It had been no camp for many years.
Right.
And then I brought it back 3 years ago. And
right.
Then it was, first year it was 9 to 12, and the
That's
second
what I
year
thought.
Was 9 to 1.
Yeah,
and
I
last
so.
Year we had the added the aftercare.
Right. So we're really going from one extreme to another. Mm-hmm. All right, well, get me the list, and I'll talk to Eric. It may have to be that we just disband it.
Might make sense if everybody's gone.
Two kids.
And I guess I should have noted that we're just giving him a hard time. The gentlemen in the front are from Hightstown Fire. Scott, your chief, right?
Yes.
Scott is the chief over there. And they came in for a discussion, which we may or may not be having in public. But I really didn't think you'd know about the kitty camp.
No.
You were hikes down, so I figured I'd ask. Joe, do you have a short or long report?
Short, that way I can go and then Joe can go.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
She's got a whole presentation thing here. So.
Yeah, because you're going to do the presentation, then we're going to cut it off. Is that okay with you?
Fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Councilmember Joe Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Okay. We know about the bond, and I guess we're going to have a meeting later today about that. The bulletin board at the post office was burned on the morning of the 29th. State police, Monroe, Millstone, Monmouth County Fire Marshal all came in.
Who called them?
In the morning when the state police first came, I believe you or Kelly called.
But no, I'm talking about everybody else who showed up.
I called Jim, and I also called the
Jim.
State police, Jim Carbon.
Okay, I'm curious why.
Because I wanted to know what he thought about the concept of the papers on the bulletin board being burned. I didn't realize that they were burned until someone called me and told me that the papers were singed on the bulletin board. Is that a problem that I called him?
Well, I'm kind of wondering. We had at the time a fire department, and our backup fire department was Millstone. So I was kind of surprised that Monroe showed up.
Millstone showed up.
You called Millstone and Monroe.
Jim called Millstone.
How many trucks did we have here? I was at work.
Actually, Millstone came in with an engine, four members. Jim rolled in right after that. Monmouth County Fire Marshal's people came in, and then the state police came back.
Who called the fire marshal?
I believe Jim.
I
asked Jim to call the fire marshal because there was a can of accelerant sitting on the side, and there was a smell of accelerant on the bulletin board. And nobody apparently realized that before. So the can of accelerant was taken by the state police as evidence. They have an ongoing investigation. Monmouth County Fire Marshal sent a guy down. I have his name here. And he used his sniffer to figure out that there was, in fact, accelerant on the bulletin board.
But tested positive.
It tested positive for accelerant. So it's almost as if this was a case of arson as opposed to a case of vandalism. I didn't realize that the bulletin board was on fire. It was right next to the post office. If it had actually gone up, the post office could have gone up. That would have been a federal situation. So
I'm curious because at 7 o'clock in the morning, I was told that the bulletin board had been pulled down. Somebody tried to light it on fire. That was at 7 o'clock in the morning. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had the state police on the phone, annoyed at me. I had the U.S. Postal Service on the phone, annoyed at me.
Mm-hmm.
I had various...
I called the postal... I personally called the postal inspector.
Several people
I mean, is it a problem that I made these phone calls?
I'm just trying to figure out...
I'm safety committee chairman. I wanted to know what was going on. And apparently... There's an investigation now.
He's a councilman,
and he's the
safety chair.
Okay.
I spoke with the state police before I came here. I spoke with the county fire marshal before I came here. They're both active investigations, sir.
Interesting. Okay.
What is your take on it? What's your problem with him doing it?
Should I call him back and say forget about it, or what?
No, I'm not suggesting you call him. I'm just suggesting you call the state police. The police went out and started an investigation, and then we have... these surrounding fire companies coming in and people are calling the state fire marshal. I mean, normally there's a police incident. The police come, they investigate, they bring in who they need to bring in. I had the Postal Service saying, people are calling me. What the heck are they, it's not the word they used, what the heck are they calling us about? Who owns this thing? So I had to then write a letter explaining who owned the bulletin board. Other than a email and a phone call from Dr. Lapote and from Kelly, I heard nothing for the rest of the day from anybody who was out there, other than occasional reports of, we got half the state here. I'm kind of wondering, one, why everybody was called, and second, why nobody bothered to pick up the phone and call me.
Next time I'll call you also.
That would be good.
Well, if you knew it's 7 in the morning, why didn't you...
So at 7 in the morning, we did call a state police. They were out there. They conducted an investigation. We called it to the... Well, the police actually went into the post office and talked with Bill Counterman, ascertaining that there were no cameras that are on that side. And so a report was made to the post office as part of the 7 a.m. investigation.
And it was the same state trooper who came back and followed through on the investigation and did a very thorough job the second time he came around.
He was talking to neighbors. He was writing stuff down. He was making a report earlier in the day. I did take pictures of everything, and I sent it to all of the council members on your RooseveltNewJersey.org.com .org.
And I actually went on, and I finally got online.
Good.
There, and I did notice with one of your photos, there was the can of accelerant on the
yes.
side. So
yeah.
It had been there all day.
Yes, yeah. And the policeman had seen it
when
we were with him.
He took it with him the second time around.
Okay.
It was an incident of vandalism / arson, so... I don't understand what your problem with calling authorities is.
I don't have a problem with calling authorities. The problem I have is, one, we had authorities in town who could have been called, but the other is that once you start that chain, the people that they call back are not you. Okay? The county did not call you back.
Well,
the county did not call Joe back.
So
the
they called you.
The
and
state police did not call you back.
Is there a problem
state
that
yeah,
they
so
called
are
you?
Are you annoyed that they called you? We had an incident in town.
I'm annoyed.
You wasn't notified.
I'm annoyed that you went through this process and didn't bother to pick up the phone. And I'm particularly annoyed because, yes, I was getting reports throughout the day, and the reports that I was getting was everybody was yelling that nobody was notified. They weren't copied on an email. They didn't know anything about it. And so their position was that nobody had been told except for Jill and Kelly. Having heard that, having complained about that, they did not pick up the phone and say, hey, by the way, Mayor, here's what's going on. Because when the United States Postal Service calls me and says, what's the problem down there? It's a little embarrassing to say, what are you talking about? Well, all these people are calling us and they want a federal investigation. Of what? Okay? So then we have to go through that process. I work during the day. So taking an hour out of my day to make these phone calls when I don't know they're coming can sometimes be a little disconcerting.
So you knew that the bulletin board was on fire?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was obvious from the pictures
I knew it at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And
so then why?
You didn't pursue
it
any further than?
But
the state police were there and investigating.
Took charge of the scene.
I'm a mayor of a small town. I do not direct the state police on how to conduct an arson or a vandalism event.
Okay, well, as a council member
else.
And as the head of the safety committee, I took it upon myself to call them back just to see, because did you smell accelerant when you were there? Did anyone tell you that there
was... I was not there, and yes, I was told that it smelled as if they had used something to start the fire.
Okay. Well, once I found out, I wanted to make sure that it was investigated.
Right. So you called the county fire marshal, you called Millstone, you called Monroe, or somebody called.
And the state police.
And the state police and the United States Postal Service, and all of them called me.
Okay, so but they came and they investigated, and the investigation continues. And
in the future,
I'm sorry, I thought that was my job. In the future, I will call you also.
Thank you. That, just so I know,
I said that about 5 minutes ago.
Okay,
I will call you in the future also.
But I was asked why.
Well, I think you're just embarrassed that.
All right, let me finish my report here then. Okay.
I would like to be. If you're going to get upset because nobody notified you, then have the courtesy of notifying other people. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the investigation continues, and there is a case number that the state police have here. So if we want to file an insurance claim to put the bulletin board back up, this would be the case number.
We have to decide first if we want to put it back up. The Fund for Roosevelt is considering paying for it if we decide that we want to.
Okay. Well, that's what he said, if.
Saying if you want to use the case number for an insurance settlement, I have the case number for you here. Should I read it now or just pass it over or what?
Yeah, I guess pass it to the clerk.
Okay.
But are you hearing what I'm saying about the Fund for Roosevelt?
Right, but if they need an insurance claim number from the state police, this is it. So the fund from Roosevelt, if they can get an insurance adjustment to help them pay for it, then...
No, either we get an insurance adjustment. The fund for Roosevelt cannot get an insurance adjustment on our insurance policy.
Okay.
So, I mean, we might be able to recover part of it and then pay for, say, the materials, and they would then pay for the labor or something like that.
Right. Okay, so if anybody needs it, the case number from the state police is C as in Charlie 060201.
C060 Alpha Charlie Tango.
C060201700334. Good?
And that is state police case number.
State police case number, yes, sir. Okay, so Monroe commissioners are meeting tonight. They have the contract. They're just finalizing it. They will send it to me in the morning. We can discuss that when we get it. We'll meet and review with the safety committee, and we'll figure out whether this contract makes any sense for us or not. And again, I guess we're going to hear about other contracts tonight.
As I mentioned,
tonight.
there are
so we'll hear
proposals.
About those also.
Right. And
does that three include Monroe?
Yeah.
Do you have Monroe's tonight?
No.
Okay. So once we have all of these contracts in hand, I'm sure our safety committee will look them over and make a recommendation to the council, and the mayor and the council can decide what to do. I imagine that's the way it works.
I think the process is that we're getting three proposals. We have to make a decision.
Tonight?
No. Well, we could make a decision tonight, but we need to discuss this at some level.
Well, that's what I was saying. So okay. There's another one
but
coming
in. You're saying,
in.
Okay, so we're going to send it to a committee. The committee's going to consider it. They're going to come back with recommendations.
We don't have a contract from Monroe until sometime tonight or, let's say, tomorrow morning.
My understanding was they're going to have it within 12 hours on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago.
They're meeting tonight?
They said April 12th a number of times.
They're meeting tonight, just as we are meeting tonight.
No, I was in a meeting where a firefighter stood up and said, what happens if the vote fails? When will we have a contract? And the first response was within an hour, and it later became 12 hours. It will be done by tomorrow, by the close of business. That was what was stated.
The commissioners are confirming it tonight, and we will get it tonight or tomorrow morning.
Am I incorrect in my memory?
I'm just...
Thank you.
Is there a problem that we won't have this contract until tomorrow morning, or should we try to get it tonight?
I'm just pointing out the obvious.
Okay. Okay, so our committee will meet, I'm sure, and review all of these contracts?
No, the entire council is going to review the contracts and make a decision.
Tonight?
Well, you know you don't have the other contracts.
Okay, we can make it by excluding Monroe, if you'd like, because we don't have that contract.
No, I'd rather you got that one also.
Okay, then let's have our closed session and decide what we're going to do.
We know what Monroe... Monroe is basically a done deal. They were just confirming it tonight.
Okay, so that's pretty much my report here.
Yeah. Okay. I would suggest that what we may want to do is set a special meeting for Thursday.
Thursday?
Next Thursday. Okay. Next Thursday, we will have all of the contracts. We'll have all the terms. I wasn't planning on taking the day off.
Yes, it is
for
the 20th.
Hitler's birthday.
The 20th?
Yeah.
Thursday would be the 20th, yes.
Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
I'm not sure what that means, Mike.
I'm not sure either. I don't have my schedule in front of me. I have to look at
I have Pilates until 7:30.
So 7:30 on the 20th.
And that will be the only item on the agenda?
Yeah. That's
special meeting, right? Yeah. Closed session, too?
No, the purpose behind the closed session is that we actually have final contracts, in some cases, which contain terms and conditions. We have others that don't. We have others that are expected. Mm-hmm. And the concern is we start this discussion and everybody runs around and says to each of the parties, oh, well, this is what this guy is offering.
Right.
So the idea is to come in, have the discussion, make a decision, and move on. Okay. We have coverage. I don't think I mentioned this. The county's been notified that I expect that sometime this evening will be the last day that we have a fire department. Because I don't believe it. I think as of tonight, the fire company is resigning from providing services to the fire department. So the Millstone has agreed in writing to carry us over. I should also mention that Hightstown offered to give us 30 days of coverage for free in the event we were in a jam.
And Monroe did as well. They said that they would cover us in the interim.
So... basically, we've reached an agreement with Millstone, and the county's been notified that the tone has changed. The tone being how they call out the fire company.
The county fire marshal has also been notified.
I'm sorry?
The county fire marshal has also been notified. We may be without coverage.
No, we are not without coverage.
I said we may be.
We will not be without coverage under any
circumstances. That's what we were told by the county fire marshal also.
We will not be without coverage under any circumstances. It is the primary purpose of government to protect one's house, property, and life. There is no circumstance under which we will be without coverage. I've already taken care of it. It will be here.
We agree on this.
I think if I can speak for Joe, he meant that he contacted them to let them know that if our fire company resigned, he was concerned about it, and they informed him.
I really wish we wouldn't be doing this.
Well,
I really wish.
We seem to all be on the same page, so can we just move on with this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually have an ordinance on this. If you want to place some of the calls, that's fine, but we got to coordinate this, because if you're calling them and telling them we don't have coverage, and I'm writing letters and certifying that we do have coverage.
I never told anyone that we did not have coverage.
What did you tell them?
I said if the fire department walks out, we may be without coverage. So can you make sure that we are covered?
And
I was told...
Well, the last meeting
I was at, council meeting, the fire department said that they were quitting if the bond fails.
Right.
So.
And we made arrangements for coverage.
Well, maybe if you had informed the entire council of that,
yes.
Joe would
have needed. I said Millstone would cover us.
Okay, so we're all on the same page.
Good, okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Lapode, utilities. The nice thing is you no longer have to worry about the Clarksburg closing because it's not there anymore.
Microphone, we'll just use this one.
Send a condolence card.
No, because I have some video.
Joe?
Yes.
Joe.
Just a hair?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the status of our sewage collection system. These are the pipes that are underground that are easy to forget about because they're underground. Our sewage system was originally constructed in the 1930s. It's vitrified clay pipe with oakum joints. Do you know what oakum is? Oakum is this fibrous substance. They could be made out of hemp or out of jute. And it's mixed with tar, and it's used to seal the joints in plumbing. But obviously, fiber degrades over time. There were some rehabilitations in the 1980s when we were moving all those boxes of files. At least one of them I looked in and it had some of the work that was done. And there's, for the rehab, there's PVC pipe with O-ring gasket joints. This is a map of our system. This was information that was presented by Manuel Ponte last March, and it was a study of our water and sewer flows, and it just shows that there's much more water going into the sewage pipes than we are is coming through our drinking water supply, so it must be coming from somewhere. Where it's coming from is groundwater and surface water in inflow and infiltration. And
what you might want to explain is that the way that they do this is that we charge everybody for water and we meter the water and we know how much water everybody uses. And so if we take all that water and we add it together and it's 1 million gallons, then 1 million gallons or less should be going through our sewer systems, right? In, out. And what's happening is that it's 1 million coming to us as water, but I don't know how many times that coming back.
Right. So it's what we've got here is the water flow of about 73,000 gallons and then an inflow and infiltration flow of about 400,000 gallons. So there's a lot of water that is flowing into the sewage treatment plant that is groundwater and surface water. Lots more numbers, different days. Here's a nice graph. In drought times, like the fall, August, September, October, and November, you really don't have as much inflow and infiltration, but during the wet times, which is February, March, April, you know, that spring flower stuff, you get just a huge amount of water coming into the sewage treatment plant, almost 300,000 gallons per day.
Could you go back once?
Sure.
What is the difference between the blue line and the yellow line?
The yellow line is water consumed.
Metered,
correct. And the blue is what is produced at the water treatment plant. And so there is some outleakage or unmonitored use of water that is the difference between those two lines. Good question. Okay. Here's March 2015. This was just one of the higher months. And it shows that on any given day, you could have between 500,000 and 600,000 gallons per day that were coming into the sewage treatment plant. Typical sources are that you have root penetration, you have laterals which are disconnected and water can flow in, and I'm going to show you video of all these things. So the good news is, of course, that our wastewater collection and treatment facility is still meeting the Department of Environmental Protection's NJPDES, New Jersey Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit limits. Not so good news is that we have a lot of water that is going to the sewage treatment plant because of our deteriorated sewage infrastructure. And the peak sewage is 5 to 6 times the average daily flow. It's a lot. And what happens with that is the sewage treatment plant is operated with intermittent pumping. to try and handle the flow. The pump goes on, goes off, goes on, goes off, and that impacts the solid settling process, so our solids are washing through. We have high operating costs because we're really just treating our sewage as if it were just add a chemical coagulant and get the materials to settle out. So we also have some structural problems with the sewage treatment plant, and I'll show you pictures of all of this. So here's some joints which have roots and pipe fractures in them, but this is so much better if we can show this video. So here is during the drought period last year, and you can see water bubbling up next to where the sewage is flowing. You can just, this is during drought. We're still having water entering our pipes. In a rainstorm, you would just have so much water coming into these pipes and going to the sewage treatment plant. This one is where you can see the joints that have gaps and the cracks in the pipes and the roots that are growing through the cracks in the pipe. This one is some of the cracks that you can actually see. This is at a joint, and you can see that there's a definite gap between the edge of the pipe and the ground where water could simply flow into the pipe and would have to be treated at the sewage treatment plant. So groundwater is definitely diluting our waste, and it adds to our operating costs. Here's some fractures that are located in the bottom of the pipe. And take you on a little journey down the sewer pipe. So you can look down through the flowing sewage and you just see the cracks of the pipes are just kind of fractured. A separated pipe joint.
This is not a colonoscopy, right?
No. That's next week. So you got roots along the pipes, you got roots at the joints, you got laterals with roots, and I'll give you one more nice video. This is where they took the camera and they tried to push it through the roots and dislodge the roots with the camera and pulled back on it. Obviously, we have these huge masses of root infiltration at the pipe joint. So if you remove the roots, which we do have Route 24 come in and take out, you know, do that roto-rooting thing and take out the roots, then what you leave are these joints that are disjointed. And so you have further infiltration the more that you keep cleaning these out. So here's some of the problems at the sewage treatment plant itself. What I've got here, that's just a picture of the influent channel and the flow meter and the deteriorated concrete steps. The Joint Insurance Fund, JIF, is after us to fix these steps, and that should be done this year. Those are the primary clarifiers. There is this awful thing that called a channel monster that is supposed to take out large solids and deposit it into the garbage can there. But it actually impedes the flow and has been a problem itself. So when you have your clarifier, is this big settling tank. On the bottom is the scraper that scrapes the sludge. On the top is a scum skimmer that skims the scum off the top. So there's the scum skimmer. The clarifier is moved through a collector drive. That is the piece that broke on one of the secondary clarifiers last year, and we had to do the emergency repair. These are the trickling filter arms. You see uneven distribution of water from the trickling filter arms. Chlorine contact tank. The effluent box is a wooden box. It's still there from the 1930s. So the sewage treatment plant sludge storage tank is an Imhoff tank, a really interesting and old piece of technology. You see that it's got reeds growing in some of the top, but if you were to fall in through some of those holes, it's maybe 25 feet down. It's really deep, and so one of the things that we should do is to have this completely covered with that kind of mesh so that the operator is protected from falling into that tank. You would drown. Yeah. Again, deteriorated concrete on those steps, deteriorated concrete around the trickling filter and in the Imhoff tank. So that's pretty much all of the things that are wrong in pictures. I thought a picture might be easier than trying to describe it. Questions?
And I apologize. I realize that the folks from Heights on Fire were sitting here for this entire thing, and while they were out of the room, we had decided that we were not going to discuss this until next Thursday. And they're big guys, so I didn't want to tick them off by having them sit for a few hours.
If they have questions, we're more than happy to answer them here. It's up to you guys.
No, let's wait until we get your sound.
Sure.
Come through. I received before we go to.
I'll be back.
Oh. Okay.
He had questions about the presentation.
Do you want to do that now, or you want to wait for a public portion?
Absolutely.
How many people have questions? If it's just one, go ahead and ask your question.
So, I got a brief here.
Okay. Moving right along. Okay, so report of borough officials. Joe, are you going to give a report or no?
Sure. Joe McGrath, zoning, code enforcement, and housing. Zoning, obviously, we talked about the planning board earlier. We've got the reexamination report done. That may require some changes in some ordinances, which the planning board will recommend to the council at some point in the future. Code enforcement, one of our constant violators is violating again, so we're going to address that. We did finally get one house on Farm Lane where we had a warrant out for the owner to get his attention for several months now. Finally was picked up and has fixed up the outside of the building. So we're in good shape there. The Dexheimer Farm is moving along as expected with the county. There's no new report there. It's just in progress. As terms of the house on Pine Street where the roof is caving in, I was out there yesterday.
Nine Pine.
And the studio portion of the house is where that roof is caving in. So that's been blocked.
It's caved.
It's caved, yes. And the rest of it, it's been blocked off. The rest of the house is still habitable, which is borderline, but habitable, until we finish with the farm and he has the money to do whatever has to be done there. That's going to take place. Other than that, we just had one recommendation for a rental, and that's Nine Homestead. For the last 8 months, John Marini and I have been fielding complaints about it, but we have come up with nothing. We've been in the house. We have observed. I was there all different hours, different days, weekends. So we don't find anything that's a violation at this point to hold up that recommendation.
Nine being the attached house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He just walked outside. You may want to have a conversation with Mr. Lopez. Because apparently they have... there's stuff you ought to talk about.
I've discussed this with Mr. McGrath many times. There are many issues there that they're excellent at hiding.
And right, which is
but
why
in all fairness, nobody brought me a picture.
Well,
nobody's brought me a video. Nobody's brought me anything.
Joe, look at me. Sit down with Sam.
No.
You may get everything you want.
Okay.
Well,
Mr. McGrath advised us to just start videotaping everything because I think that there's you don't have enough videotape for to meet his needs.
No, I think you ought to do this in private.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Peggy?
Yeah, if there is evidence, I'd like to have it because we've been, for 8 months, we've been going there to state police, have now stopped going there on the complaints. They found nothing. It's one of those things where everybody has a story, but nobody has anything to show me.
Yeah, I tried.
And in order to protect the town from any kind of complaint that might come from false accusations, I don't have any.
You need to see it firsthand, or see the video firsthand.
In order to get a warrant, you need the appropriate information. And I would suggest that we cease this conversation.
We've been in the house. We don't need a warrant to get in. We've been in.
Okay.
So. Okay. I will take that direction. Other than that, nothing more to report.
Thank you.
Are you recommending that if you're going to just look into this further, that we defer any action on this this evening?
I'll leave that to the council. Personally, I haven't found any problems, so I can't recommend not doing it.
I would defer.
I would like to defer.
Yes. Agreed.
Because there are many issues that just Mr. McGrath has not been privy to.
Well, we're going to have to make a motion.
When you get to it, you make a motion.
Become a specification for maintenance of public land for discussion. Mike, you said you had specs.
Yeah, I'd be glad to go over that with Kelly or whoever to put it into the maintenance contract.
What did for discussion mean? Did that mean it? Because I didn't write it. For discussion with you guys, not with all of us. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I have a map and areas that should be mowed, not mowed, that kind of thing. So I think we could do that.
If somebody had put for discussion, meaning the council, I didn't want to short circuit them. Okay.
Have we got bids yet for lawn?
I haven't gone out to
we
bid.
We can't because we don't have the specifications. We wanted to add this.
Well, usually they come in, in April.
Yeah, but we couldn't put them out without that because we wanted to add stuff to it. I received, it seems that we had double coverage for a little while. Actually not. Dear Mayor and Council, the Roosevelt Fire Company will no longer be serving the Roosevelt Fire Department as of 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. Sincerely, Roosevelt Fire Company.
So the point of amend your ordinance, maybe?
I just want to say they've been in existence since, I think, 1937, almost consistently throughout that entire time as a part of the community. They've held our July 4th celebrations every year. The chances of us having another July 4th celebration are substantially diminished, and they provide a wide variety of services to the town, and to the extent that any of them are here or you talk to any of them, please say thank you. It's very hard to get younger people. You know, I've reached that point in my life where I can refer to them as younger people, where you can get younger people to volunteer to do things in town, whether on the council, on the boards, for any organization. We got 18 of them, so if you see them, thank them, and the chances are that based on the bids that I'm seeing, you may see them all again. They may be the first ones who show up at your door because they may be joining the other fire companies. Mm-hmm. New business, approval of applications.
Did you want to hear from Eitan about the Environmental Commission?
I don't know. Do you? Eitan?
We still have an environment.
I'm sorry. Do you have any prediction for how long?
I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you. Okay. Approval of application for license to rent residential property, Glenda Rotana, 9 Homestead, subject to conditions recommended by zoning officer. Do we have a motion to either approve or table?
Move to table for now.
Second.
So that is tabled at least till the next meeting.
Do you have a vote on that?
Sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? I think we only need a voice. Use of Borough Hall for a party on Sunday, May 28th.
What's May 28th?
Tick and move. Is there a second?
Right around Memorial Day.
So, let's see what the...
Is that free? Because I have on my calendar that it's the RAP annual meeting, so I don't know.
It's Memorial Weekend, isn't it?
Yes. So I just wanted to check.
Okay. So there was a motion. We don't have a second.
Oh, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wow.
Is 9 a.m. the party is going to last 9 hours?
What kind of party?
That's some party.
Are we all invited?
Yeah, no, I'm saying if they just, you know, it might or might not interfere if RAP is meeting in the morning and actually having a party till the afternoon, there wouldn't be a conflict. So
This is May 28th.
May 28th.
This is some party.
So do you want to make a motion to do a pending checking the date? Okay. We get a second on that.
What was the motion?
Mr. Ticken was the first.
Second.
He made the motion subject to confirmation that the date is open.
So time is open. He's amending his motion.
Yeah.
Do we have to pay anyone overtime to be here then? Or
no.
Just curious.
No.
Yeah, we usually have somebody who comes in, checks, sets up, does whatever.
Okay. I was a union guy, so Sunday it's...
Not for parties.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just curious.
And when does it get cleaned up afterwards?
They clean up and then check when they come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why they leave a deposit.
Okay. So we are... All right, so the motion is... do we get a second?
No, we didn't
get a second. All right. So the motion is to approve subject to the staff checking the date and seeing if there's a conflict.
Okay. Second.
I guess the question is what happens if we find a conflict?
Yeah.
She has to change her party from RAP at first.
Okay. How many people are coming from RAP?
Probably.
I mean, is it a concert?
It's
is it a...
15, 20. It's an annual meeting.
It's
so
an
it's
annual
usually
meeting.
15 or 20 people or something like that.
I mean, maybe Dave would move it. I don't know, but we just need to work it
so
out.
That's definite.
Okay.
You know for sure, Rob, is that day?
It was on my calendar, so I'm not positive.
Probably.
All right. So let's check it. If they're going to really be done by 6 and Rob is coming in at 7 or Rob is coming in the morning and they're not really coming in until noon, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. If we can work it out, great. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. RAP is requesting Saturday, June 24th, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Mr. Ticton and Ms. Lapote. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? Move discussion of summer recreation fees.
We already did that.
Already did that. Okay. Council meeting location. Okay, folks. Two announcements. I know we just discussed it on this coming Thursday. No?
Next Thursday, the 20th.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next Thursday, the 20th at 7:30 is a special meeting to discuss the replacement for the fire department. The meeting on April 24th has been moved to the Roosevelt Public School. It's moved to the Roosevelt Public School because the 25th is yet another referendum. And that referendum taking place on the 25th, we move it because the meetings tend to go on. It's 9 o'clock now, and the people who have to set up for the elections have a lot of work to do, and then they have to be back here at 5 in the morning and stay till 9 at night. So we try to get out of here. So the meeting on the 24th will be at 7 o'clock at the Roosevelt Public School. We will put up signs and notices. I think it's already on Facebook.
48-hour notice.
Yeah. And notices of the regarding the April 25th election are already on Facebook, and that will let you know when you have to do a mail-in, when you have to register, etc. Okay. We now come to the public comment. Does anybody in the public have anything to say or any questions, Mr. Ellen?
I'm going to start with Bert Ellen, 22 Homestead Lane.
Thank you.
Let me start with the fire company. This is a public contract, is it not? Isn't it supposed to be advertised for proposals?
No. If you're doing a shared service, particularly emergency services, you don't have to do a bidding process.
Why is this a shared service? We don't have a fire company.
Well, presumably it would be with another governmental entity that is authorized by law to provide fire services, and then it would qualify under the Shared Services Act.
Now, for instance, we don't have garbage either. We have a shared service agreement for garbage. We have a shared service agreement for recycling. Okay.
Not recycling. And there was no RFP prepared for these activities.
To go to whom?
No.
Well, whoever, the garbage. Don't you have a contract with the garbage? And don't you have an RFP that described the things that were to be in the contract?
No.
Not for a shared service, no. We would if we went to a private company.
So we're talking about, I'm not quite sure what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship in which nobody knows for sure what they're going to get.
No, we're talking about negotiated contracts.
So you're going to have a contract?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You ought to have a contract. And did you prior to signing an agreement with garbage company and the agreement you're going to sign with a fire company, have that contract prepared so that everybody could read it?
Yeah.
So there is a contract somewhere floating around that these fire companies, whoever they are, have and know what they're going to respond to.
We have one written contract. We have no written contract from Monroe.
We have no written contract from
Hightstown. We have a written contract from Millstone.
But your written contract from Millstone will also apply to the other fire companies who are interested in providing service.
No, they're each making their own proposal.
Man, I've never heard anything like that, and I've been in this business. I'm not this business. I've only been in that business for about 10 years, but I've been in a business in which we do $1 million worth of work, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, 5,000, a couple of hundred. We always have a contract. We prepare.
We will review. Our attorney will review each of the proposed contracts. The contract at this point is the least of the issues.
Well,
it's
a
contract
sure
to provide fire services to the borough of Roosevelt.
Fire services to include.
Yes.
Include what?
To include all services previously provided, including without limitation, such things as gas leaks, power lines down, trees down, maintenance may be done by us.
Why? The fire company used to do it.
Well, the fire company did it, and so did utilities.
Of late, it's been utilities that does the fire hydrant draining and testing for pressure and so forth.
And they have insurance provided. Okay.
We're all covered, actually, depending upon if, for instance, we were with Millstone, we have the same JIF policy, the Joint Insurance Fund, insures both of us.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why, and if you're within the same county versus out of county, et cetera, but all that, in many cases, are the same insurance companies providing coverage, all the same conditions. So when we get, for instance, we have a shared service agreement with Millstone to plow Nurco Road. We have a shared service agreement with Hightstown to do garbage, and I think they also provide some public works and utility support.
Okay, so the provider provides their own liability insurance. We don't, or is that part of the contract that for which we pay?
So we're insured by the Joint Insurance Fund, JIF, Monmouth County JIF. Okay. They are also insured by JIF under a slightly different policy. There's a policy for fire departments, policies for the town.
But their policy covers activities in this borough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But our attorney can't review Monroe's contract,
no,
right?
No, I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Okay. Moving right along. And this bulletin that came out for distribution. I strongly suggest that next time somebody writes this, they get an editor. Nobody reads two pages, single-spaced. And I think this could have been reduced quite a bit. I mean, there are two issues. There are two issues concerning what has to be done. And there's only one issue regarding how we're going to pay for it, really. But in the 50 years or so, 60 years that I've been living here.
60, Dad.
Huh?
60.
60 years that I've been living here, yeah.
I'm 63. Get over it.
Should give away my age.
Yeah.
that we've always said, and we've had that problem from the first day I arrived here, which is that we achieve we achieve the ability to produce good water through our sewage and sewerage system by dilution. When we first came here, you could go down to the sewer plant, get a clear glass, scoop up some water as the effluent came out, take a look at it. There wasn't anything in it, no flocking, no anything else. And in fact, you could drink it because it was 99% water, And so the problem with the sewerage system is, I hate to say this, is a simple problem. It's the same problem we've always had, which you demonstrated. That the problem is the collection system, and that is where we should focus our attention. The problems, some of the problems that we have at the plant, will be eliminated by reducing the flow of non-sewage material. And while it will be expensive, it'll be a hell of a lot less expensive when we do it. Now, there's some mention in here of that, well, maybe we'll look into sending this material that we presently take to somebody else. Nobody else is going to take it because they're going to have the same problem we have. They'll be treating water. They won't be treating sewage, and they're not going to do it. So I would say forget that. Aside from how much it would cost us. It would cost us, I think, a lot more than if we just fixed everything we have here. But I think that, I don't know whether the consultants have figured out where all the influx is coming from, where the influence is coming from. We know where some of it's coming from. But until we get that report, we'll never know how much it's going to cost to fix this plant. I don't know where that stands. I hope they're working on it.
They're not working on it because we have put everything on hold until such time as we could have the bond passed, and so we do not have that report.
Okay.
Until such time as we could resolve the issue of the bond.
Okay. So, moving along on that base, on that point, unless we get that information, we cannot repair the system.
That's correct.
In order to get that information, we have to pay the consultant. I think, and I'm going to make a pitch, I think that it's absolutely imperative that this issue is resolved positively, that the bond issue is resolved positively, because it's the only way we're going to make any dent in solving this problem. And one of these days, and I assume it's going to be fairly soon, the DEP is going to say, you can't solve the problem by dilution. I don't know if we have to fix every pipe, or if we can fix 50% of the pipe and reduce the problem, but we have to do it. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public have?
Sure. Eitan Grunwald, 5 Eleanor Lane. I know that a decision has been reached about the fire or the emergency services building and fire services. My understanding is we still have issues regarding a facility for our first aid squad. Mm-hmm. And I know it was sort of referenced earlier regarding things that I guess Public Works was going to be looking into, but I just wanted to understand what are the next steps for that and when are they expected to be taken?
The next steps are to get back together with the engineer and to figure out the next step is for me to negotiate with Piosha again, and the fire marshal again. In that process, we're going to have to come up with a plan that provides for suitable bathroom and decontamination facilities and for ventilation, exhaust ventilation. I don't know if you've ever been in here when they start up the ambulances, but the place...
But I mean, we're still back to the issue of whether we do rehab in the existing garage or we put up a two-bay building?
No, we're back to how the heck do we fix this? I have no idea at this point. I mean, we're talking about capital improvements.
Are we under external constraints as far as deadlines?
They'll start filing. They've already said they're going to start filing.
And so forth.
So we have to find out how much time we have, and then we have to have somebody come up with a plan and a way to fund it.
The bathroom, the ventilation, and the garage doors.
Those are the primary, yes.
Yes, okay.
There are other issues.
These are the primary issues.
And an oil-water separator, because you could have... Yeah. So there's DEP issues also.
Yeah, I don't know if, to be honest, I don't know if we need that for first aid. We did for fire.
If you have trucks inside a garage.
Okay, so drain. And I guess the parking lot in front of the...
So it seemed that last year and a half ago, process was begun to have an advisory group that met, examined things, made recommendations, and then the council voted essentially on what it wanted to do, which then became subject to a referendum as far as the bonding.
Right.
What's the process this time around? And my question is not addressed to the mayor necessarily, but to the council as a whole.
May I? I would say we call people in and say, how much would it cost to widen these doors? How much would it cost to put ventilation in for these two pieces, for these two ambulances? How much would it cost to do something with the bathroom? I assume this bathroom back here.
No, in there.
Oh, there is one in there.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd say
one. You've never been in there to look at the bathroom?
I've been in there, but I have not been in the bathroom. I have not even been in this bathroom. I'm sorry. I'll take the entire tour the next time. But
I'm just implying it's a little late to be inspecting the building.
I just want to mention that since we're not North Carolina, we really don't need to know.
Okay. But, yeah, I would say each one of those things has to be looked at individually. How much will it cost?
So it's a construction project, and we have to go through the typical process of identifying what needs to be done, what the costs are going to be, and making decisions. So, again, I guess I come back to the question of how compelling is the need, and how is there any sense of a timeline on this?
We got an extension by explaining that we were going to have a bond referendum, and we would determine at that point if the bond referendum went through, then we were building a new building, and therefore this became irrelevant. Right. Since it is no longer irrelevant, we now have to go back and negotiate. I don't know.
Okay. Are we basically back at square one with regard to the first aid facility, the facility for our first aid squad?
But Roberts Engineering did provide us with an estimate for rehabbing that.
Yes.
And so we can start at least with what our own engineer provided.
And I haven't seen that report. Is that available?
It's online.
Oh, yeah, it's online.
Yeah. Okay. Just this half over here. Not
yes.
Everything's online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go to the website and click on agendas and minutes, then click on Emergency Services Commission.
So it's in there.
And it's all there.
Okay. So who is responsible within within the council structure? Who is responsible for taking the lead on this and seeing that it gets done?
Our safety committee, I believe.
I think it might be Public Works, but some combination.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at some point we would expect to start seeing this as an agenda item again?
I would hope so.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hartley, we'll come back to you, Mr. Hartley.
Tim Hartley, 29 Farm Lane. Sorry if I'm asking you to go back over stuff that everybody else knows already, but I've been away for a while. I just want to catch up. Am I understanding it correctly, back to the sewer issue, the presentation by Councilwoman Lopati was excellent in terms of outlining what the problem is, but I'm not clear on the next step. Is it a bond has to be approved in order to get the scope of the study further understood?
I'll give you a very brief synopsis, and then we can certainly talk, or you can talk to anybody here later. We brought in consultants, engineers, R3M, which specializes in small utility systems. We authorized funding for part of their project. They started on the project. In the interim, we met with the NJEIT, the Infrastructure Trust Fund, who brought us into a new program which would allow us to bond the expenses of the engineer. Usually you have to bond the whole project, right? And our position was, well, we don't know what the project is because we've got to wait for the study to be done. And they said, well, we're going to start a new program. We will bond the engineering study. But to do that, we have to have our own bond. In other words, we issue a bond and they basically take it over. So we authorized a bond. The bond was challenged by petition, which means that it has to be voted on by the voters.
Just to study the problem? That was challenged?
Yes. April 25th.
It's not.
April 25th would be the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
would
a,
be
the
referendum.
So this has to go out to a public referendum just to be able to study what our problem. Mm-hmm. Scope of our problem, obviously.
To pay the remainder of their fees.
Well,
yes.
a few things were missing there.
From that statement.
That the work was done that there was no funding for, and so the bond was necessary to pay some of the $55,000, I think, in outstanding bills that there was no funding authorized for. And so when that bond came out, citizens challenged that bond because you're not, it's illegal actually to do that, to have work done without having the proper authorizations in terms of having the money available and that kind of thing. So it really is a little more complicated than just people shooting down a bond to do a study. There was some issues prior to that.
Work was ordered without council authorization or authorization from the CFO to certify that the funds
were. If we're
going to
have this discussion, we need to have it in closed session.
No.
Oh, yeah. Because it will be discussion of litigation.
Well, some of it will, yeah.
Okay. Well, and that's also.
But a lot of
it's
public knowledge. It's
okay. It sounds complicated. I'm just wondering if this is
it's not really complicated. It was the funds were, some of the funds were spent once the EIT determined that it was going to allow us to issue a bond and it would cover that those fees were authorized. And statute states, you heard what Mike said, It is then followed by, everybody has a problem with the second part. Nothing in this section contained, however, shall prevent the making of contracts or the spending of money for a capital project to be financed in whole or in part by the issuance of notes or bonds. Based on that, we proceeded and a petition was filed. So that's where we are.
There's also a statute that states it's illegal to pay a
bill
that was
statute.
Unauthorized, and that it says it's better to go to court and have the judge determine whether you should pay, not pay, make a settlement, than to pay it and find out afterwards that that was improper.
Okay, it's the same statute, Peggy.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to read the part
no officer, board, body, or commission shall during any fiscal year expend any money except to pay notes, bonds, or interest thereon, incur any liability, or enter into any contract which by its terms involves the expenditure of money for any purpose for which no appropriation is provided or in excess of the amount appropriated for such purpose.
Mr. Mayor,
any contract
public portion, if I can just like jump in here to try to cut through some of this.
Please.
If this is something that's going out to a public referendum, I am sincerely hoping that the pros and cons will be summarized and boiled down enough in time and distributed to the public in time for them to make an informed decision. Because as things stand now, just as one member of the public, I'm really kind of at a loss, and I hope that more information will be available between now and then, rather than just the stuff that gets discussed here. I think this was valuable, but for those people that couldn't make it to these meetings,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be essential for the town's well-being to let people make a decision based on a relatively small number of clear factors. Thank you.
Tim, did you get one of these?
I did, and I did read every single line, believe it or not.
Sorry?
Sharon Unger, 21 Farm Lane. Question regarding the contracts with the firehouses. Did I hear this correctly? Like, our attorney can review Millstone, he can review Hightstown, but he can't review Monroe's?
Yeah, you heard that correctly.
Okay, so who reviews for us?
You'd have to, the borough, and it's something we'll have
so we
to
would
discuss.
Have to pay out another.
We'd have to get another attorney.
You'd attorney
have
to get and another pay attorney. Another
attorney.
But
we're not paying him to do it.
Yes.
The reason is that, sure. that he represents Fire District Number 2 in Monroe. So if we were going to do a contract with Monroe, he can't represent both
sides. Okay. That's just understanding. Okay. That just was wondering. I was just hoping, like, somebody.
If you love them more than you love us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing it from their side either, believe me.
All right. Mr. Ellentuck.
Yeah, just a quickie.
Ms. Pryor, we'll call on you next.
Joe left out one item about the ambulance. Jack Rent asked me to come in and do an examination of, this was a long time ago, do an examination of the building. And the main problem that he had, aside from the fact that it was very hard to get through the garage doors, which are not as easy to fix as you may think, was that the structure that supports the building and the roof interfered with his ambulances. And he couldn't get the ambulances into the garage without scraping the steelwork that was supporting the roof. Mm-hmm. So in order to fix that,
the lolly columns in there, you mean?
I think there are I-beams actually. In my recollection. Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the horizontal, not the vertical supports.
I'm talking about the verticals that support the horizontals.
Yeah.
Okay.
The columns.
We put it to you that way. It's the columns that support the beams. And some solution has to be found for that, so they can really get the ambulances into their building. Now, I came up with a really jury-rigged kind of solution, which I don't recommend, but it's something that's going to have to be looked at, as well as everything else we've talked about that building.
Okay. Okay.
And I have another question. And it's addressed to Councilman Malkin. And are you prepared to say that that we should not conduct a referendum in order to pay for the study that this community urgently needs, because it is your opinion, and it's your opinion. I haven't asked our attorney. Is it because it's your opinion that it was illegal to enter into this contract in the first place, and that it shouldn't, and that the contractor should not be paid?
Well, first of all, it's not my opinion. That is.
It is your opinion.
No.
Whose other opinion is it?
Councilwoman Lapode admitted that she was supposed to ask for authorization.
Whose other opinion is it?
You're asking me a question. I'm telling you.
Okay.
The statute says you are not permitted to pay a bill that was not authorized by the council and our CFO. And the statute goes on to say, now it may be a bit murky because Jeff reads one part of it that says one thing, but the statute also says better to go to court and let the judge decide what.
The statute does not say that.
I've got it on.
I've got it right here. You're making it up.
No, I am not making it up.
Okay, I'm looking for the word court. I'm looking for the word better.
When I go home tonight, I will get it from my computer. I have it in writing on the computer that it is better to
Excuse me, both of you.
Sorry.
Are you talking about statutory language or commentary?
I'm talking about when you research the statute.
Are you talking about statutory language or commentary?
Well, it's probably commentary. I can't say
100%. Well, in that commentary, that's, you know, I don't know where commentary stands. I'll defer to our attorney.
I discussed this with the CFO and the auditor, who both said that not only this had to be authorized by the council and the CFO, but that R3M should have known better. That's what they do, municipality water sewer engineering, and they know that they have to see the authorization before they proceed with the work, and that wasn't done either. So all along the line, protocol and law was not followed. And I was told that by all of our financial officers.
Did you talk to our attorney?
No, not about water sewer.
He's the one who gives you legal advice on this council.
No, he gives some people legal advice on the council, not all.
Are you serious?
Of course.
Did you ask the question? Or did you just assume that if I ask the question, he won't answer me, therefore I should be angry?
Let me ask you a question.
Hey, children, can we stop?
Please.
It would be nice if we stopped this. I mean, we're back in Helm again.
Well, you know, you're the accusator here. I'm not.
You're not what?
I'm just trying to answer your questions.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
You won't let our attorney speak because you don't believe him.
He can speak. I'm not stopping him from speaking.
Well,
you asked if I consulted with him. I did not.
Okay. Let's consult with him now.
I don't think you can do that.
I can't do that?
No.
I'd like to make a point of order.
I'd like to.
First of all, I don't think the chair ought to be sitting as chair ruling on his relatives and allowing his father specifically. I don't think that's a good dynamic either way.
I'm going to bring my grandsons.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why is that, Mike?
It's a conflict of interest.
What's the conflict of interest?
I'm a citizen of this town.
I know they fight all the time.
Hey, Mike, I'm a citizen of this town.
No, I understand it. But if my father was in the audience and I was chairing a meeting, I would chair it a little differently with due respect for my father than I would for anybody else. And I think there is an inherent
I don't think I'm doing it any differently.
Just let me finish.
Are we really having a discussion about a meeting?
Oh, we're having a discussion about so many things.
Please go forward with the public.
What
is Mr. Ellentuck? I believe you had the floor because this is the public portion.
Yes, the public portion.
I had a point of order to make, and that
you can't make a point of order about me.
No, I'm making a point of order to the chair of the meeting. I've done this for years and years, and you've done it too with meetings.
You don't. Okay, were you here when I was a mayor?
No.
No. Okay, yeah. Okay. So let's not. That's another one of those bubble mices.
Okay. That's even better. Maybe I'll go out in the audience.
But I'll sit down.
Whatever you want to do.
I don't think he wants that mic. Please, permit me.
Well done,
Stacey.
Oh, so can we switch? Okay, let's switch.
You're welcome.
All right.
That
we have a long agenda here.
Yes. Now, if you'd like to have a continuation of this discussion, we need to do it in closed session. Okay? If you don't want
to
have it...
Talk to your father.
There are more...
Oh, really?
You
grow up.
Do
you want to discuss the issue of the bond in closed session?
I did not bring it up.
I'm asking you a question.
There are other people...
You don't have to make a statement.
Yeah, why don't you just...
We're not doing it right now. Yes or no? No. Okay. Ms. Paris.
I'm not even answering.
I know.
Maureen Parra, 2 Tamara Drive. What is the capital project that's being funded by this bond? That's my question.
Okay.
Does anyone know in the council?
One
knows? There's a capital project the bond is funding. What is the capital project?
The repair or renovation of the water plant. It is phase one of a 3 or 4 phase project. Signed off by the EIT.
And what date did the council approve that capital project? And what referendum? What resolution number?
We have been discussing a process of doing a study. We approved the study.
But the,
it's also in the bond ordinance.
But is yes but I and yes, but that's why I'm asking. What is the date that it was approved by the council? It does say it was approved. The bond ordinance section 3 says it was approved by the council.
Yes,
however, when I asked the clerk by open public records request, I was told that that does not exist, the approval. Perhaps the clerk didn't know.
Okay, well, we can find it under OPA. Is there anything else?
No, I still don't understand. The capital project, a study by definition is not a capital project. What is the capital project?
A study
project?
By definition may not, in your mind, be a capital project. However, in the mind and the regulations of the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust Fund, that is part of an overall project, phase one of which is such studies as are necessary to determine what has to go into phases 2 and 3 and 4.
But the statute you spoke about, you said you were relying on an exception for a capital project.
I am not having a legal discussion with you. I am not arguing the case here.
Well, this, all right. Does anyone else have an answer for it? Not the mayor? Well, did you approve a capital project that this bond is paying for?
Not during my term, and we did ask the borough clerk for a copy of it, and she said, quote, it does not exist, unquote. And it was listed in the bond as one of the things. You did mention it was an exception. You read
the bond ordinance.
It is funny.
Yeah.
The bond ordinance
says this constitutes an authorization for the expenditure of funds.
But we're
for an assessment.
Yeah.
It says, Section 3 says it authorizes an assessment that was approved by the council.
Improvements hereby authorized to be undertaken consist of various water sewer improvements, including an assessment of the sewerage system.
So what is the capital project?
Is the improvements...
Doesn't it say it was approved by the council?
Okay,
sorry. No, it does not. It says the improvements hereby authorized to be undertaken.
Section 3.
The end of it? Improvements hereby authorized to be undertaken. Doesn't say that past tense they had been. It says they are hereby
Section
authorized.
Section 3, the whole thing, it doesn't say as approved by the council?
Section 3, it says as finally approved by the governing body of the borough.
Okay, so I was asking when it was
coming.
Approved. Well, they already approved the bond, and the bond said it was approved by the council.
What?
Yeah,
I don't understand what you're asking.
The bond says that it's funding work, including an assessment that is in the custody of the chief financial officer and it was approved by the council. So I'm asking when this was approved.
As finally approved by the borough council. I mean, I read that to mean as it will eventually be approved by the...
It doesn't say it's been approved.
Yeah, I don't read it that way. But... We could always ask the bond
as may
council.
Be approved.
So it's prudent to bond something that you don't know what you're bonding.
Okay.
It's to put the funding in place so you can do it.
But we don't know what we're funding.
We're funding a study that will tell us what it is we need.
But it hasn't been approved. The study hasn't been approved. Nothing.
Yes, the study was approved. The study was approved. There was a resolution. There was a contract.
What do you think their ulterior motive is?
We need to speak afterward.
Okay.
I would like to know what we're funding.
We are funding a study of infiltration of water into the pipes in the borough of Roosevelt to determine which of those pipes need to be fixed, which do not, in order to control the amount control the volume and determine the volume that is going to have to be treated by the plant or is going to have to be pumped. Because that directly impacts what equipment would be required at the plant should we decide to renovate it or install a pump station.
Did the council approve that, what you just described?
Yes, they did. We got proposals. We got plans. We went through all of this.
If I had just mentioned that when we went to the EIT, they did have a change in the way that they finance projects. And it used to be that you would have a specific financing for each project that you undertook. They have changed their procedures. There are now short-term funds that can be used for the study that will lead to your eventual choice about what you're going to do with the plant. So you have to know how much water is coming in and the inflow and infiltration issues in order to get to properly size what kinds of things you need to treat that amount of sewage. And this was something that we had been discussing for all of last year. It came up during the emergency services building time and time again. People would say, well, what's the sewer going to cost? Well, we can't know how much it's going to cost until we can do the studies that will lead to us coming up with cost estimates. We would like to be able to go out with a referendum, but have it actually on the regular election day kind of ballot, to talk about what options are available for Roosevelt. I mean, we're a small community. We have no other people that we can bring their sewage into our town to help pay for the repairs of the sewage treatment plant. We've preserved all of the land around Roosevelt. So we've got 325 homes that have to support this plant. We have to know how big of pumps we're going to need, how we're going to treat the sewage. The way to do that is to look at how much water is coming in, and if there are cost-effective ways to limit that amount of water coming to the sewage treatment plant, then you have less to treat. That then gets at, if you want to pump your sewage to another facility, how much that'll cost, because it depends on the size of the pipes you even need to transport the sewage, or if you are even considering selling your water and sewer assets, which I know is not popular, you at least need to know the valuation of your system so that you're not getting, you know, wildly different kinds of numbers. So this, I mean, why is it a referendum? It's because people don't like me. I'm sure that it is a personal issue. And although Peggy has been very careful not to say it, she just really would like to embarrass me. But really, the council had...
I resent that, and that is blatantly... You did not follow the statute. So don't say that I don't
didn't
like
follow
you.
A procedure.
You did not follow a procedure.
I didn't follow a procedure that isn't commonly followed on this council.
Not according to our professionals.
But there are plenty of other ways that the council could have chastised me. They could have a vote of censure. They could I mean, there's lots of other things that wouldn't cost the town money. But now we have this referendum, and we have to vote on a bond that is just really needed if we're going to figure out the future direction of our town. I know that people in Roosevelt care about the environment very much, and they don't want to pollute the Assunpink, so they do want to treat our sewage properly. Our compliance with our permits requires that. Well, the most cost-effective way to do that requires some studies in order to come up with the capital improvement plan. And now that those studies can be funded by NJEIT, which in the past has given us 50% principal forgiveness loans. That means a 50% grant on some of these things. It really behooves our town to move forward with this. Now, I accept that it is not personal, that it is merely your need to enforce the Finance Committee's procedures. But I would just point out that even today we had some consternation about budget procedures. So one of the things when you do a vote of censure, for instance, is that you take the person who's being scolded and you say, go, take a course or do some remedial work so that you will learn about budgeting. Well, I did. I went to a course on budgeting. That's how I learned quite a bit. I certainly would come to the council every single time there's an expenditure that you want to discuss. But I just think punishing the whole town because of a procedural error is really out of proportion with what is in a small town's finances.
Could I have the public work?
I'm not sure if punishment involved, the punishment you're referring to would involve following the law or allowing the public to vote on an expenditure. But in either case, in terms of finances, I am baffled why this council chose to spend the money on a special election when automatically this issue would have been on the November ballot and wouldn't have cost anything. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand why the council chose to spend that money. Makes no sense to me. And I think we'd be talking about something different if we didn't have a $55,000 bill that work was already done as of November of last year beyond the appropriation. And that wasn't a study. The bill is already done. It wasn't a study. So I think we'd be talking about something different if we weren't talking about the legality regarding that expenditure. Study is a whole separate thing. That bill was not, I looked at the bill, it is not a study.
Okay. Thank you.
So if that's not, if that were taken out.
Your time is up. I mean, you've been out here for 15 minutes.
Well, Jill spoke almost all of it, and your father spoke a lot longer than I did. I think that's the reason Hamilton suggested that there be someone else chairing it.
Okay. Do you want to be careful?
However,
okay.
I think that if you want to invoke time limits, you should invoke them on your parent, too.
Okay. Ms. Parrott, if you have something to say, you are welcome to continue, but we're not going to keep answering legal questions for you. Okay? We're just not.
Well,
it's not appropriate.
You didn't answer any of them. You didn't answer them. I asked a factual question.
I read the statute,
and there is no. You answered the question. There's no capital project that's being funded.
No, that's not what I answered. You didn't give me one.
So you answered that. It's factual.
Do you remember the discussion about phase one, phase two, phase three?
But this wasn't funding phase two, phase three, and phase four.
It was funded phase one.
But the only thing that's accepted in that statute is a bond for a capital project.
What? Okay. Okay. Yes. Sorry. Henry. And then we'll go to you, and Henry had his hand up first. We'll have Henry, then we'll you. Sam, you're going to?
Jeb's going to raise her hand.
I'm sorry, Jeb also?
Yeah.
Okay. I just can't see you from here.
I'll be fast. Henry John Alder from 48 Pine Drive. I read the entire line-by-line handout that we got a few days ago. So I have and I was confused about what I was going to be voting on. But I think I understand it now. I'm going to be voting on a referendum to approve or not a bond that we would be issued, a relatively small bond, I gather, to cover the study part that would lead to a decision on the next phases, which would be the shovel in the ground parts.
Yes.
Okay, so the big expenditures are going to come after this part.
But there will be, let's be clear, there will be big expenditures going forward.
Yeah.
There is no option that I'm aware of that does not involve big expenditures.
So, but I guess, so I just go back to the point that was made earlier to get out in short bullet points as well as possible exactly what it is that we're being asked to vote on. I didn't find that clear in the long...
I have a 500-word one that was good to go in the borough bulletin, but the bulletin is not going to come out until May something, so we'll just have to... point taken, Henry. We'll put out something quick.
You know, it's got to be more like 50.
50 words. Got it. Okay.
50 words to leave your sewer. Yes.
Okay.
Lorraine Hartley, 29 Farm Lane. Excuse me, Rainy Hartley. This is going to sound weird, but we were gone a long time, and despite this meeting tonight, I'm really glad to be home. However, the last time I saw a police officer on foot in Roosevelt was when Wilbur came to tell me my mother-in-law was dead. So I'm wondering why there was a police officer here tonight.
There are actually police officers here all the time. You just don't see them. They generally wait outside, or you know, if they come by, they'll stop.
Here meaning, meaning
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt in general.
Roosevelt in general. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're asking specifically why they were inside the council. Right?
They check every time we have a council meeting. They check.
Is this they something are aware new? This isn't the first meeting I've come to.
No. There was a town hall meeting. They were there. We've had at least
lately.
Five meetings where they're here.
Lately.
They're around.
Recently. Thank you.
Last year. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Jeff Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. I just have a couple of things to say. First of all, Jill... This is not personal. It just
Thank you.
Truly is not personal.
Thank you.
But a pattern of poor communication has been established over the last several years that makes it very hard for people who see things one way to actually digest what people who see things the other way are. So, for instance, friends of mine have called me stupid. And, you know, there's a very, very bad situation. Everybody knows that. And so I think in the meeting tonight, I understand some things better than I had understood in the past. But I don't know if anybody who thinks differently from me has any understanding of what I think. And I was a person who signed the petition for this referendum. And people who were with me when I signed it know that I did it very, very reluctantly. But I did it because I understood that there was a problem, that there was a legal problem. And I didn't see how we could allow something to go forward that was very possibly against the law. I don't disagree with anything in that paper, which I also read word for word. To me, that is not the issue of the referendum. The referendum is really whether or not a process that took place was legal. And it seems to me that in discussion with people who do agree with me, I mean, actually feel more strongly than I do because this whole thing troubles me, have come up with some other possible ways to settle the possible legal problems and move ahead with what clearly has to be moved ahead with. But people who have, let's say, the opposite view that I do, just aren't open. And that has been true with all the controversial issues that have come up, including, I will say once again, that terribly constituted advisory committee.
Thank you. Now, can I ask you a question? Because this has been bothering me.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a personal question. It's not just directed at you.
Well, this, I don't know. You're
going to
ask
me. Yeah, no. Oh, never mind. Okay. Is anybody else? Mr. Connors.
A couple other people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Connors, and then you. We're still waiting on Sam, aren't we? Did you get a chance to talk?
Okay. He's not sure yet. Right. Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. I want to talk to two different people. I want to talk as a member of the First Aid Squad, and then I want to talk to the resident. Member of the First Aid Squad, we're very sorry to see the fire company go. We know we're going to have to work with other companies, but that's what everyone needs to understand. While everybody's figuring out who's doing what, going there and all these things, every company has different operating procedures. So while, yes, they're a fire company coming into town, we need to be able to meld with them. We need to know what's going on. And this door over here that apparently is made of concrete, where we're on the other side of, open it. Everybody else opens it all day long. So apparently it works. If you got a question, ask it. You might get some good advice that you just don't know. Okay? The fire company had their equipment that they were able to get rid of. There's some things the town owns. The First Aid Squad would like to review them if we could first, because might save us some other money. You've already spent it. Maybe we can use it. Okay? We're more than willing to help. We're more willing to do whatever we can do. Yes, we are still here. I have to tell you, I was very embarrassed the other day. I came to the senior citizens meeting, and I've never seen such a group of scared people in my life, because they didn't think they dialed for an ambulance, anybody was going to show up. And I think that message has got to get out there. Because all this controversy and all this silly argument, those people who are in that room really looked at me and said, if we call, you guys come? That's a sad statement for this town. That there are people in town who are scared to dial 911 because they don't think anybody's going to bother to show up. And I think it's a council's responsibility to make sure everybody in this town knows, yes, you dial it, somebody will come. So that's the first day part of it. Now, as far as the sewer goes, I'm glad you took that video. I worked for the Department of Public Works for 28 years. And unfortunately, part of the job I had was working on little sewer systems like this. That video tells me a lot and tells people that we're taking it a lot. One of the things it tells me is, depending on where that is those pipes deteriorate like that, eventually they will collapse. Well, if the water can't go away from your house, guess where it's going back to? So if you're really lucky and it breaks away from your house, it's not coming to your house. But if it breaks on the other side, your bathtub thing, and I have seen this happen because the facility I was at had pipes like this with the same connections, and it backed up and filled all the bathtubs up, filled the sinks up, and it wasn't clean water, ladies and gentlemen. So it isn't a question if something's going to happen. It's a question of when. And looking at those videos, I'd go buy some rubber boots.
Yes. And then you'll be next. Mr. Cragen.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. I'm just curious. It seems that everyone's in agreement that, you know, something needs to be done. If it's just a small legal matter, why spend $13,000 or however much it costs on a referendum when we pay a lawyer anyway? Why couldn't this be hashed out if it's just a small legal matter and not a personal problem? Why does it have to, he said, buy some boots. I might buy some boots because that could happen tomorrow. As far as I know, it's connected with the ratchet strap. Am I right?
Yeah.
So then we stop everything. We stop all the research over a small legal issue. And so I'm guessing I could look back and every expenditure that we've had has been approved by the CFO beforehand?
No. Actually, the vast majority in the last 10 years, I think that there are three in the last 10 years that had a prior certification. And if you go back, into, say, your administration, pulled five off the top that didn't have a prior certification. So the statement that this is in accordance with our prior policies is correct.
That's
insane.
What in particular? Because I'm not familiar with that. We usually had certifications on everything.
0853, $8,600, 55-2002, $3,700, $4506, it was $9,000. I'm not pointing fingers because some of them did have or said subject to, but the point is that historically we ain't been on the button on this one, number one. And number two, in the last 10 years, I will tell you that there were maybe four had a prior certification of funds.
So my question is, if it's not a personal problem, why for such a pressing matter bring this up now? I understand that it eventually needs to get done. There's a correct way to do it. Mm-hmm. But let's just have a referendum, wait 4 more months. Second month, our system collapsed. Uh-huh. Then what? You know what I mean? I just feel as if there should be a different way, a legal matter, a small legal matter shouldn't, like Jill said, affect the entire town. If it's not a personal problem, you should be able to iron out the legal issue and get it done. Because I haven't heard anyone say that the research isn't necessary. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Cragen?
Paul Cragen, 7 School Lane. I may be missing something, but please explain why it's not possible to put out an RFP to the actual companies who would do the work on the repair of the sewer system and ask as part of their workup that they themselves assume the costs of any research in terms of actually looking at flows or deterioration or video inspection of the pipes, et cetera, and they absorb that cost as part of their bidding process. I think that that's doable.
We did put out an RFP for engineering studies. We got back 7. I think it was 7. We went through them. We divided them into those that specialized in large versus small systems. We looked at pricing. We split it all out, and we came up with recommendations. But the people who specialize in the engineering of the small systems are not the same people who build them. So the engineers would oversee hiring the contractors, the cement workers, whatever, or ordering the various components or directing how they're ordered. But the people who put those in are not the same people who do the study.
Understood, and I'm saying something completely different. What I'm saying is that it's possible by constructing an RFP with specific engineering taskings in the RFP to have those engineering services provided, perhaps by the same companies, but paid for by the people who are hoping to get our big contract and have it come out of their nickel rather than out of our nickel. The key point being that apparently with this proposal, this $55,000, no one's blaming Jill actually for the mechanics of the thing. The mechanics of the thing to make the referendum is just to say, no, stop, time out, what's going on here? This is just wrong. To be able, may I finish, Jeff? I'm still on my 5 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So what I'm suggesting is that we need to be able to rethink the whole thing and put forward a request for proposal to the companies that actually do the work, who have all their own engineers on staff or either can contract engineers as just we would, rather than put out a request for proposal for engineering studies, which we did select in the right process to select an engineering study. But for my understanding of the 55 is just a drop in the bucket and just the tip of the iceberg. What is the amount of the whole study that we are committing to once we pay this 55?
$135,000 all in, right? $135,000 or $150,000? $135,000.
And my question then would be, how does that really solve the problem going on for the future? Shouldn't we be taking a what a long-term view of the problem in Roosevelt, not just do a one-shot solution, but have something that would actually be taken in stages. Maybe we have to do a section of the town at the time. Maybe we have to do an ongoing project that would be a rollover project that would be an ongoing project forever, always renovating part of the town as part of our actual need to have a good sewer system. The key point being that rather than having a one-shot proposal or a one-shot fix, we need to be able to look out 5, 10, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, and have something that will be effective for the town going on in the future. And that any engineering study, I think, and this is something that you can think about, you don't have to answer it obviously tonight, but any engineering study can be folded into the RFPs and the RFIs that would be part and parcel of getting the actual work done. And the last thing I would mention is you may want to consider at some point that the cheapest way for the town to do this would not be to do a huge bond. I've heard figures from George Lang, $2 or $3 million, I think, was the next bond that was going to come at us.
No, I don't know where that came from. I actually think it's higher.
Higher.
Well, yeah, there was some discussion about $1.6 million in a budget. I don't know where the hell that came from.
And that would be the beginning. That would be the beginning of this project. My point being that is not a capped figure. So my point would be that there needs to be some way to have a controllable expense that is fixed and handleable over time in the future. And the last thing I would add here is that we may want to look at the concept of the town buying a backhoe and having a full-time backhoe operator laying pipe continuously until this thing's fixed and do a certain stage of the town. The town, I don't know, how many miles is the sewer system? It's a fixed number. It's not a huge number.
No, it's about 4.3. I can't remember exactly. It's in one of the reports.
And has anyone done a workup of what it would cost to hire a backhoe and an operator and then have people deliver pipe just as needed? You know, what do they call it? Just-in-time deliveries of the materials to be able to lay this thing over time and be able to, in the course of a few years, come up with a sewer system that's not going to fail.
Appreciate your input. There are several possibilities for dealing with sewer lines. Some of them involve relining the inside so you don't have to dig up the roads.
Yeah.
So I think that is some of the considerations that our engineer will supply to us.
And what I'm suggesting is it possible at this point
It's not possible at this point. At this point, we have a referendum that's going to happen on April 25th, and it's going to happen. So we're voted up or down, that's what's going to happen.
Understood. Question, if the referendum is voted down to spend the money, I believe that, in fact, the engineering company cannot demand payment because it was their responsibility to make sure that there was money in the till before they did the work, before they submitted, may I finish, please, before they submitted the bill. That's my understanding. Tell me if I'm wrong. That's my understanding.
You're wrong.
That's their responsibility to ascertain that.
Did you just ask to tell you if you're wrong?
Okay, well,
you're wrong.
I've been told by lawyers that
I was told by our professionals that is.
That's
we need to discuss this in closed session and not in open session.
Good point.
Okay, well, can I finish my comment?
I'm just trying to eliminate any discussion on.
I would suggest that what we do is we permit him to finish what he is saying, and we will thank him for his comments and move on.
Okay. I'm not saying you have to agree with me, but hear me out. So I'm saying that if you do this, I guess, catch up from the fact that this proposal is going to be voted down. I hope it will be voted down, because I think that instead of paying the 55, which you do not have to legally pay, which you're not legally responsible to pay, take that same money and then from our own possibilities, get the people on, like yourself, who are experts in this area, to write requests for proposals, requests for information, to companies that would do the work and ask them as part of doing the work, they would come up with our engineering studies out of their nickels and see if that would save the town not just this $55,000 but the $155,000 of the study. That's a lot of money in my pocket.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. I will make one point which seems to have been missed in all of this. We have already spent $55,000 or $60,000 on this study. So the study is halfway done. We stopped it. We don't have any results because it's not done yet. So if we do something else, we will already have spent the 55, just so we're all clear about that. Mary, you had...
I'll go quick because I'm not very late, and this is on a different topic.
Oh, thank you.
I tried to wait till a lot of other things were taken care of. But today I was out walking the woodland trails with our watershed ambassador because we're going to be having a stream monitoring training. And in the section between Rochdale and the bicycle path, there are quite a few large tire treads going through there in the mud. And it looked like it's probably some kind of ATV, being ridden through there. And we have a lot of people, especially now the weather's warmer, who walk the trail. There's classes in school to walk the trail. And I thought the council had previously passed a resolution saying that there were not to be ATVs on the woodland trails and that you were maybe going to post a couple signs.
I think it's an ordinance.
Money is tight, I know, but if you could post, maybe if it's that is a section of the trail where I think I have seen ATVs. I don't know if it's a problem in anybody's noticed it other areas, but even if it's in just a couple spots, people will get the idea. I know enforcement will be difficult, but still, at least to have it stated that it's not allowed, because then citizens may say, "Hey, did you see the sign?"
Could you just describe a little more specifically where it is? Because I'm not getting it. Yeah. Where
it is?
Trail?
Directly behind 29 Farm Lane.
That explains it.
The path, okay.
And yeah. Rochdale. It's Section ABC, Section C of the Nature Trail.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Mary, the bicycle path.
And the thing, there's some bollards on that path.
Oh, yeah.
When I was there the other day, one of them was down. I don't know if that was officially down, but that's enough room to let an ATV get through there.
They just go around them, too.
I don't think there may not be room to get around it if they're all up in the place.
Also, Mary, maybe we can put it in time for the May Borough Bulletin. And just have a notice to remind people.
Well, who are writing, I don't think they're reading the bulletin.
I don't think they're going to pay attention to the sign either, but it's a possible deterrent.
Short answer, though, on the bollards, apparently we're waiting for a part to arrive to put it back in.
Okay, yeah, because that's the other thing I was going to ask. I had I forgot to ask Kelly again today about it, but actually, yeah, there's somebody put a stick actually trying to keep the bollard up because it can fall. It can fall down and hurt somebody. So, okay, that's it.
Thank you. Okay, that ends our. Oh, Mr. Clark. Yes.
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. I can tell you why the state police came again. It's because I went to look at the scene of the downed bulletin board.
I'm sorry, Bob, what day? You mean tonight?
Why they came again with the bulletin board issue.
Oh, okay.
I went to the scene of the downed bulletin board and saw it and smelled an odor of an accelerant. Then a citizen came by and said, what's that can over there? And it turned out about 20 feet behind the downed board was a can of some kind of bolt and nut breaker material with hazardous warning, highly flammable, all over the label. And so I had learned that the state police had already been out there, but it seemed to me like if there was an accelerant on the scene, they should have taken it. So I called them, and they said they're busy, but they would send somebody down to check it out. And I took pictures of it, but I didn't touch it. And then I called Joe Trammell and told him, as chair of the Public Safety Committee, and he called the county fire marshal. And at the scene, there was a little tape around the bulletin board, and that was it. And you could see the charred papers on it if you got down to look at it because it was face down. And then the trooper did arrive. I think it was the trooper that did the original investigation. He said he had discounted that as a possibility. I said, I don't think you should have discounted it. Whereupon, about that time, the fire marshal arrived, and they were speaking to each other because I backed away at that point because the professionals were there at that point. And then I noticed that the trooper did put the can into a evidence envelope and took it away, and then I departed the scene. Meanwhile, Mr. Trammell had called, Jim Carbon. And he came with a Millstone fire truck. I don't know if he was with them or separate.
No, he came with a Monroe Chief's truck, and he had called Millstone and their fire truck.
Right. So that's why there was additional attention paid to that. And if that upset the state police, well, they should have been upset, but with themselves, for doing a lack of a thorough investigation.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Okay, that closes the public session. Do I have a, oh, I'm sorry. Please, come on.
I guess I'm Deb Lennart, 5 Elm Court. I find it still fascinating that we bring up food bills and how many photocopies we're doing of paper and stuff like that. And yet we have resources right here. We have a lawyer that you guys pay to give us legal advice, and the solution is always, let's go to court and let a judge, you know, handle the situation. I believe that stuff, referendums, all of that costs a huge amount of more money than food copies. So maybe we need to focus on what's really costing the town and the consumers in the town money and stop worrying about food copies and all that other stuff. And we have resources right in town. We had a fire department. We had issues. We went to all the other fire departments. We have a lawyer that works for us. We have issues. We don't ask our lawyer. Maybe next time we have an issue that's related to the town, we should ask Hightstown or Millstone's mayor. Maybe they'll give us a better answer. I don't know. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, closing the public session. Do I have?
Good morning, everyone. Can I ask? Do we need to go into closed session?
Yeah.
Can we do it? Yeah, at the special meeting.
Okay. Well, no.
Special
meeting is going to be about fire, not about.
Okay. Right. We don't need to close.
As far as I know. Unless you really want one. No drinks. No. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Give that one to Stacy. She
moves faster than you.
Is there a second out there?
Second.
Let's get
Michael
a second.
Mr. second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Do they dare?
Why didn't we just dispense with the